Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live Thursday night. Get ready to take communion tonight. In fact, you know what? I don't have my communion good. Let's get ready to do that. And we're not having Zoom again tonight. I'll talk about this a little bit during the show. Everything's together. Finally got everything together. It's been wonderful. And our spring situation is kind of complicated. The way it all sets up and the software for it. But the software people are supposed to come in and early today, and they didn't make it till about an hour before the show, or 30 minutes. I said, just forget it, and kind of said we canceled it. And they're going to get together tomorrow, but yeah, it's really cool, really awesome what's being put together. I'm really, really, it's much better than I thought it was going to be, and I'm excited about it. If we can just get it together, right? Yeah. Let's look up. Now I'll announce that a couple of times during the show, and let everybody know kind of what's happening. Hey, I'm just going to be right there. You're looking to get on Zoom tonight and see the blow of the doorpost. Like I said, the software people who posted, like, I got everything together, put together, ready to go. And we have a very complicated system, so to speak. And the software people were supposed to put all that together today, early today. And they didn't do it. So just point about that a little bit, but they're going to definitely have it done tomorrow. We've got it definitely set up for tomorrow early. And so pray for me that I will finish that up because I'm ready. It's looking awesome, man. It's turned out much better than I thought. And I'm very, 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 very happy. So that's real big on my end. So thanks for your prayers. And I'll talk about that again, like I said, time or two here. And there during the show. Tell everybody know what's happening. I think everybody expected me to do the video tonight. So, well, I sent out a text. Hope you got it. And those who didn't know, we won't be telling them about it. So, I don't know what's happening. It's, like I said, it's kind of better, even better than I thought. Coming together better than I thought. But it's just a thing of software. The software that we are using for this new system with all of our screens is a very high technical thing. And so software people are supposed to put it together. And so they said, don't even try. Because it's like, you know, I might could have done it, but they taught me out of it and set an appointment. And they kept not showing up for hour after hour. And finally, when they did, it was like right before the show. So I just canceled out. Couldn't do it at that time. So it takes a few hours to, it takes about 2 hours to get it all together and download and do their, they have to do their thing. They connect into my system and go in there and put it all together. That's really cool how it works. And really a high-tech thing and exciting. Like I said, I thought I'd have to get it tonight. I was almost sure I would. Had everything set up. And then the technical guys, they didn't make it. They made it really, really late. I told them, you guys are calling like 30 minutes an hour before my show, and that's not going to work because I got to, you know, I got things I got to get ready. So they understood, and they're going to get together with me tomorrow. So we will have it, and it's a beautiful setup. Like I said earlier, really excited about it. So yeah, all right, really, really good. Okay, awesome. There we go. Okay, get ready. We're going to take communion tonight. Get your communion out. Don't forget about that. We want to, I'm not sure what we're going to dedicate it to tonight, what we're going to focus on with it. I like to focus communion on things because of the purpose of it. It's really amazing how powerful communion is. And most people still don't have it. I've kind of gotten a hold of it because of the grace of God. And I'm trying to pass it along to all people, so all people can actually fully develop and activate that. What the communion activates all by itself, that nothing else activates, and it's really cool. You don't have to do it every day, I guess, but depends on what your situation is. You're gonna walk in the supernatural realm. I would recommend you do it every day, but God will have to speak to you. Because the highest level of warfare that you go through, believe it or not, is condemnation. And so it's a really big deal. The devil knows how to make you think it's the Holy Spirit correcting you when really it's him just pushing you down. The Lord always lifts you up, even if he's straightening you out, right? He's lifting you up, lifts you higher. But the condemnation takes you lower. And you think that it's correcting you, but it's really not. It's really an amazing lie. The devil's such a good liar. He's good at anything. He's really good at lying and deceiving. And we all know that the liar, the devil is a liar and a deceiver. And he's been really good at it. He fooled Adam and Eve, right? And they were in the garden, had their full brains going on. Just think about that. They had their full brain going on. Yeah, they did. And so it's really amazing to know how conniving and how you know, deceitful he can be, that he would convince people who had their full brain going on. You know, it shows you the power of Satan, and that if we are not, you know, in Jesus, then he overpowers you. You know, he outsmarts you. And so you think you can outsmart the devil? I don't think you can. The Holy Spirit's the only one that you that can help you. You have to be totally dependent on him to totally defeat the enemy in every area of your life. Because he is the wiles of the devil, all that. I mean, I don't glorify the devil at all, but I do speak the truth about him. And that he's not something you just blink at or wink at. He's something that you better have the Holy Spirit working through you and in you if you're going to conquer him, because he is extremely deceitful. He is a really, really good liar. And with women, he talks to them in what they want to hear. You know, like he did Eve. He said, you know, that fruit can make you wise, and God's not telling you about it, but I can tell you about it. I mean, it was very intriguing, very, talk about getting your curiosity all juiced up, and she knew who that serpent was. So if you are not aware of your enemy, it's because he's got you in some areas. You know, just like he did with me, condemnation. I thought, man, I'm such a humble, broken, yielded person to God. And he's just, you know, I just let him deal with me, man, just anything he wants to say. And little did I realize, a lot of what I thought was the Holy Spirit dealing with me was just the enemy using condemnation to condemn me, to put me down, and to always, you know, showing me my faults and my fears, but never do anything to help you get through them, right? And he's really good at making it look like you're, God is trying to help you. I'm God, and I'm trying to help you. And it's just a big deception until your eyes get opened up to it. And I'm sure that there's a lot more that God's trying to open up with me about that condemnation realm. But when I started taking communion, as we're going to take communion tonight, it was one of the things that began to open my eyes. That's why we like to designate maybe a scripture or a certain thing that we believe God's doing to get our eyes open to when we take communion. You know, that way we can focus in on something specific and take communion and do that, because what it does, it opens up your brain, opens up your mind. And we're into opening up your brain as well as your soul and your mind around here. It's not just your spiritual brain, your spiritual mind. It is your physical brain that works along with it. See, here's what most people don't realize. They don't realize that the spirit and the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, the mind, the will, and emotions, and the brain, the physical brain, are one. I mean, they're one and the same. They're not, the brain is physical, of course, a mass, and when it dies, it's dead. But the soul works with it, and all the memories that are in the brain that the brain works with become registered or recorded in the soul. That way, what you do with your natural brain or your thinking element, the thinking parts of your brain, how you think and what thoughts you have, are recorded in your soul forever. Until, you know, Jesus, by his blood, when you ask forgiveness, when you catch him and have him give it back, then it gets washed away. Then it gets, you get separated from it, and it gets taken out of your life. Then that's different. All right, so we have to remember that and know that the soul and the brain, so you understand why God's having me work with the brain, the physical brain. Jesus didn't need a physical brain to function, you know, he wouldn't have had one. But he did. He had a brain, a physical brain, just like you and I did. If he'd have stayed dead in the tomb, his physical brain would have decayed just like ours. But he was resurrected before that because God did not want him to decay, as the scripture says. Right, that's what the resurrection did. It brought him back to life before it began to decay. Because everything in his brain, in Jesus' brain, you know, physical brain, his thinking and the part of the soul and the brain work together. The spirit and the heart, I think, the physical heart and the spirit, I think, work together closely. I think they're intertwined. And then, of course, the body is the temple. And so the spirit and the soul dwell in the temple. And you, when you start connecting this, you understand why God has had me personally to bring the brain to develop it, to bring it back to its full potential in the physical realm, so that we can be just like Jesus, and that he had no part of his brain that wasn't working. He was working with 100%, 100-fold. He had 100-fold understanding. There was not 90%, 80%, 50%, 10%, much less 10% like us. You know, Jesus was hanging around a bunch of people that they were like basically brain dead, you know, as far as compared to him, because he was like 100-fold. Brain usage, and they were like maybe 10%. Some people, now there's no proof that's what it is, but lower levels for sure. So when the brain is so what happened is, the reason Jesus' brain didn't decay, God didn't want it to decay, was because he wanted that brain and everything in it and everything Jesus did and every memory in the physical part of his brain to be resurrected with him and seated at the right hand of the Father. So we have a resurrected, if you will, physical human being seated at the right hand of the Father. He walked around in his resurrected body and ate fish. That was one of the ways he proved himself, when he ate fish with Peter. When, I remember when Peter saw him and said, you know, Jesus said, you know, do you love me, Peter? All anyone, he just wanted to know, do you love me? Remember all that? He was cooking fish. And the reason he ate fish in front of them, because he wanted to show them that his physical body did consume food. And his brain was still being fed by that food, and functioned by that food, and yet there he was glorified, and so, anyway, so the physical brain is extremely important in that one day, here's how important it is, one day God's going to resurrect your physical brain, your old body, your physical body. Every physical part of you is going to be resurrected, right? That's what the resurrection is going to be. It's being your brain, right? Your heart, your physical legs and arms, everything. Except it's going to be resurrected in Christ to, you know, quote, perfection, if you will. So it's going to be really amazing. So as we're developing the physical brain on how to feed it, you know, people say, well, what's the big deal about going back and trying to get your brain working? Well, because the more your brain works, like Jesus' brain worked, physical brain, he had a physical brain, and that brain worked 100-fold. So what made him be able to develop full obedience to God and walk in that? His full physical brain was active with his full spiritual soul, if you will. His soul was spiritual. His spirit was spirit. His soul was spiritual, you know, spirit also. And it worked along with his brain, and they worked together. And that's why he was so powerful. That's why he was so amazing. That's why he was so able to think things through. And, you know, he did not use his physical brain. It was very much a part of his sonship, of his messiahship, if you will. You don't mind if I talk parables, do you? Sometimes people get a little bit upset with me because, where's all your scriptures at? Well, I'm giving you a scripture without naming them, right? So just hang on to that. And sometimes Jesus taught parables, and if you look at some of those, a lot of places he taught things, he didn't use one scripture at all. Not one scripture. He was presenting things in a way, in story form, talking and sharing without getting deep into remember the scripture. Every once in a while he would say, yeah, just like Isaiah, but it wasn't really that much scripture references to Jesus, because he was teaching something in a different way, in parables, so that, you know, people could hear stories. He didn't stop and go, yeah, this is 1 John 4:7, Isaiah 28:13. You know, remember, mark that down. He wanted them to see the whole picture, so he talked in picture form or in parable form with things they could identify with, you know, and that's the way he taught. All right, so sometimes when I'm doing this, talking like this, it's because I want you to see the overall picture of things, and if you know the scripture, you know that what I'm telling you is the word of God. So, you know, now, there's no real proof that the soul yet, and there's no real proof that the soul and the brain are one, but you got to think about it. What's your brain? Your memories? Your emotions? You know? And your will? What's in your soul? Yeah. All that. They're twined and connected, and they work together, and Jesus worked together. He was led by the Holy Spirit through his spirit, and his spirit ruled over his mind, right, and his soul. And, so therefore he was, you know, like when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I mean, that was real blood. That wasn't spiritual blood. That was actual physical blood that was coming from his blood vessels and also from the pressure on his brain, because God wanted someone who had a perfect brain, like Jesus, no sin, no defilement, no DNA issues. He wanted somebody who had a perfect brain to walk with God and do it to the fullest with the physical brain, and to learn and grow and talk and sweat and bleed. When they crushed the crown of thorns on his head, you know, I'm sure, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure it pierced his brain, pierced his skull. They were, you know, I don't know about all that for sure, but it was all about God was wanting to have someone who not just walked in the spirit, but also did it in their physical body, that their spirit, soul, and their body, and their heart, all obeyed God, walked with God, and conquered with God, so that we could walk with a physical human brain, with a soul that is pure and holy, with a spirit man that's pure and holy, and then a body that's pure and holy and resurrected. But it's all physical. So Jesus had to be the physical person who conquered everything physically. He conquered death physically. I mean, his brain rose from the dead after 3 days, right, as well as the rest of his body. And I'm making that lightness because there was a reason why God wanted all that to be done through a physical human being, so that it would prepare the way for us, so that someday when we get resurrected, we will be resurrected with a perfectly pure physical brain, a perfectly pure soul, spirit man, and body, and all of it. But Jesus had to be the one to conquer all that. So I hope I'm not getting too deep tonight on this, but I just want to share something. Because you have to understand, people are so spiritual, they will undermine the information on the physical brain, like it doesn't really make any difference what we eat. We can just eat whatever we want to, pig out on trash, and what happens is they're not able to, their brain's not working clearly. They're clogging it up with, you know, grease and oils and things that they don't need to have in there. And it's slowing their brain down, so they can't walk with God as easily. Because your brain has everything to do with how you walk and think out the things that God is giving you. And it's not just your spiritual part, it's your physical, it's your brain is working. And when it's working good, and when it's 100-fold working, like that's what I'm working on, I believe God for that, 36 and 100-fold understanding, Mark 13, that so that all three areas can, you know, walk as close as we can in that. I think God wants us to ask him to show us how to activate our brains completely. And when you understand how important it is, how much easier it's going to make you to walk with God, you're going to want to do it. Instead of back and going, I don't know, do that, man, because, you know, I mean, what do we need our brains? It's obvious some people don't believe in the physical brain, man. It's just all spiritual, it's all spirit. No, we're spirit, soul, and body, right? We're physical. So it's real important to understand. You know, I couldn't understand why God started calling me about the physical brain. Literally waking me up in the middle of the night, giving me information on the physical brain was mind-boggling. And I was, you know, shocked at first. And then I began to realize in Matthew 13 that when he said 3,600-fold understanding meant that we could understand, and part of it is with our physical brain, right? Like he had. We have to look back. We have to go back and look at what Jesus did and why Jesus was born with a body, a brain, you know, a heart, physical, that was pure and undefiled and had no genetic deficiencies in it or deformities in it passed down from, you know, other generations. Yeah, it's really important. And so it shows you that somebody who's like that, who has no genetic deficiencies and their brain is functioning properly and they don't have struggle with something inside them screaming out, get a drunk, let's go get drunk. Let's go fornicate. Let's go, you know, I mean, we already have, our flesh already wants to do that stuff anyway. Let's go commit adultery. Let's go do, you know, let's go steal and cheat, man. Let's go take over. You know, I mean, there's that, but when you, our flesh will do that by itself. But when you have your blood cried out from past generations, sins and past time, crying to you to do that, and it starts talking to you every day, and the minute you activate it at all, you make a mistake and you activate going and stealing something, or lying about something in a very strategic way, lie, or whatever the thing is, once you do that and you activate that, then it's like the alcoholic's gene act. It starts talking to you really loud now. It starts being really strong, and pretty soon you're being overwhelmed with these thoughts, and it all makes sense, and now let's go try to rob a bank. I mean, you know, that money's ours anyway, whatever, and you start talking yourself into it, or your genes, once you begin to activate them. If you have... people, anybody can steal something. I stole a quarter or nickel something from my mom when I was a kid. And I never forget that. Guilt and shame I had after that. You know, well, that was like a nickel back then. Probably like a couple of dollars now. I'm not sure exactly, but maybe $5, I don't know. But when I stole it, you know, I just thought, why did I do that? That was like dumb. You know, I didn't need that five. I didn't need that nickel, that 25 cents, whatever it was. What am I doing? And so now if I would have had, genetic weaknesses in me to be a thief, then I would have turned into a thief. You know, I would have had that thief thing talking to me all the time. Now, my flesh, you know, kids want to do things that we all have a struggle with, you know, stealing something and justifying why, because my mommy's nickel was really mine anyway, because, you know, I cleaned the backyard out last week and she never did pay me for it, so I'm just going to take it. You know, I mean, you can start talking yourself into things. And if you have genetics passed down where it's been running your family, then you're going to have it not just talking to you a little bit. You're going to have it screaming at you every day. And your mind, your brain, your physical brain is the activator and the controller. And what's the word? It's the head and not the tail. It's the one that runs everything. So your brain, your thoughts start thinking all these thoughts and they start screaming at you. Our flesh talks to us. But when you got DNA issues and you activate that, you know, one time, you take one drink or you go lie or cheat or steal or do some kind of a sexual thing that, you know, that you just kind of like innocently as a kid, it doesn't matter. If it's there, it will activate it. And now that thing is screaming at you and you're watching pornography all the time and going like, why am I such an evil, bad person? You're not an evil, bad person, friend. You got DNA things passed down. And Jesus said, like a woman who got caught in the act of adultery, said, you know, I didn't come here to kill people anymore over that. I know I made a law for that. There was a reason for that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to forgive and wash and cleanse and get rid of those strong cries that tell people to do evil things, because it passed down from generation to generation. It's already inside them. And the minute they activate it, either innocently as a child or anytime they activate it, it just is like alcohol. I mean, all of a sudden, you've got to have a drink, you know, and then pretty soon you're drinking all day long. Right? So it's the same thing. So where's the head of all that? Where's the headquarters of all that? It's in your brain, your physical brain. It's in your physical brain. So when we take communion, we are, you know, in a sense, eating his physical body and drinking his physical blood, if you will, because the whole point here is that we're eating something physical so that you can identify with eating Jesus' brains. I know it sounds gross. Eating, it's what he said, eat my body, drink my blood, or eating his body. When you identify different parts of his body that you're eating, if you need a new brain thing, you need to eat Jesus' body and specifically identify it with, I have brain issues. I got some alcohol issues. I got some lying issues. I got some things. I don't really lie that much, but I'm always wanting to. Why do I always want to lie? Why is that screaming voice inside me always telling me I don't do it, but it's what's always there. Can I get rid of that? Yes. You eat his physical, you know, like when we eat communion, it's like, take, eat, this is my body. Even some scriptures where Jesus said in John 6, he says, you know, he's standing there right in front of him, and he says, you got to eat me. You know, like they were supposed to take a bite of his, like the bite of his arm or his leg or something. Eat me. You know, and he was trying to say something. Because when you ate him, if you had issues with, you know, your nerves or cancer or something that produced things in your body, when you ate his flesh, you know, it took care of that. Take care of that. Because you're eating a physical human being. That's really great, doesn't it? Carnivorous people. I would say corona people. Carnivorous. We're a bunch of carnivorous, you know. Yeah. So that's what, and I know it sounds kind of unusual, but what I'm saying is whatever your body needs, if you're having trouble with your feet may not be the real issue. It may be in your brain. Something in your brain is telling your feet to do that. Right? Something in your brain is telling your heart to do that. Something in your brain is telling your nerves to do things. And they twitching and that kind of thing. It's coming, that's not your nerves in your hands. That's coming from your brain. So when we start understanding that when we eat his body, we're eating his physical brain, if you will, because those parts of your brain that have been affected by DNA talking to you and genetics, genes passed down, talking to you all the time, and especially when you activate one of them, this is going to just not talk to you anymore. It's going to be screaming at you. Screaming. Do this. Do it now. You deserve this. It belongs to you. Go get it. It's yours. And they turn into a full-fledged thief, you know, because they're getting back what they believe is theirs, you know, without God being in it. And it's passed down from generation to generation. And as soon as you start activating that, even as a kid, pretty soon you don't realize it. It's not that you're a bad person. It's that when you activate that gene, like I say, I always liken to alcohol because that's the most well-known. It's like activating that alcoholic gene, and pretty soon you're burning, man. You got to have some every day, all the time. Same thing with lying, cheating, stealing, you know, adultery, sexual sins, all that stuff. So when we eat his physical body, you are literally eating his brain. What did Jesus' brain do? It spoke to his body, pure health. What did his brain, the headquarters of his body, speak to him? Oh, you're whole. You're clean. You're pure. You're the Son of God. You're the seed of God. And so that's what we need in us. We need our brains to start screaming to us, if you will, you are a child of God. It's possibly confession's okay, but when your brain is doing it, because you're eating his brains, if you will, eating his body, your brain begins to, you know, do away with that screaming of how unrighteous you are, to saying, you are a holy man of God. You are a holy man of God. You live for the Father. You do every day what he tells you to do. And it's really cool that you're a cool man of God. You're a beautiful woman of God. You're living for the Lord. Your heart is for the Lord. You know, and so now you have this voice singing to you, shouting to you, not just do another, you know, round of sexual stuff, and it's just driving you to do that. No, all that, you don't have that in you anymore. When you eat his brain, it washes that away, those genetics, because genetics are physical. They're very spiritual, but they're very physical. And they tell your physical body what to do. So when we eat his physical body, we are eating his genetic code. Right? We're eating his genes. We're eating his blood. What do you do when you do that? You have to understand, when you connect this and why how important it is, you are connecting yourself to getting a transformation of the root system. Not just cutting things off at the top. You're going to the root. Brain is the headquarters of what directs your body and your thinking and your desires and your passions on what to do and what to feel. Well, that has to change. It's not just spiritual. If you've got it in the spiritual, that's why communion means a lot to people. You know, why do you want to eat his body or drink his blood? And then people, then they talk themselves into it. It's just a totally spiritual experience. Well, it's both. But you have to remember, the reason you need to eat his physical and drink his blood, he's trying to say, hey, you know, I'm going to give you some new life. Life is in the blood. I'm going to give you some new life. I'm going to give you a new life. You're going to have a life that's going to no longer say, man, we got to go, you know, we need to go rob that bank, man. Those bankers, they're crooked. They're deceitful. They're evil people. And we're going to be like Robin Hood. We're going to save the world by robbing banks and stealing and, you know, taking this. We're not really stealing. We're not really taking. We're taking what belongs to us. And it starts talking to you and lying to you. And pretty soon you find yourself starting to plan. You know why? Because it's in your DNA already. Yeah. So it's physically in you, not just spiritually. It's physically in you too. And get your physical body. What part of your body goes and does sexual things? Your body does. What goes and steals and keeps and, you know, your mind, your brain, your talking, you're talking to people. You're using your hands. You're using your feet. You're dressing. Your physical body is involved in all of it. So that's why it's important that our brain, the headquarters that tells us, you know, is influencing us what to do and what not to do, that all that gets changed by when we take communion like we do tonight. Eat his brains. I know it's going to come off a little crazy for some people, but some people are going to walk away tonight probably going, man, that's crazy, eating Jesus' brains. That's like nuts. But that's what Jesus said. He's going to eat my body. Well, which part of his body do you need? I need all of it, right? We need all of it. But you got to think sometimes specifically, what am I having to struggle with today? Most people are having trouble with their brain because their physical brain is telling them spiritual thoughts or thoughts in their thinking and in their desires, is giving them desire to do things physically, to say things with their mouth, their physical mouth, their tongue, their breath. It's all physical. That's why we eat his physical, you know, when we take communion, this is my body, which is broken for you. In other words, it's broken up, and what do you need? What part do you need of it? You know, we don't get it all. Resurrection will get it all, but right now we can partake of, you know, some of his brain, or part of his brain. What part of the brain do you need? What part of the brain you got damage in? What part of your brain is most effective in getting you to do things that some voice, people say it's always a demon, but it's usually the blood and demon, you know, activated it. But it gets, the devil knows once you get something in your blood, then he's got you. He don't need to hang around telling you what to do. Your blood's going to tell you what to do. Your blood's going to fulfill his purpose because it's going to start telling you, give you desires to do things. Amen. Does that make sense? I don't know why I'm on this so strong tonight, but we are. So I'm just kind of going the flow and doing it in a parable situation so that people think, well, you know, how come you're not quoting scriptures every, you know, 5 seconds or 5 minutes or whatever? Because I'm doing a parable type thing. You know, I'm using scripture, like I'm on 1 Corinthians 11 right now. I didn't say it, but I'm sitting here looking at it, reading it. Take heed, this is my body, which is broken for you, right? But I didn't say, go to 1 Corinthians. So sometimes we talk in a parable situation, right? Okay. I'm going to say that over and over again to people understand. So that religious part of their brain doesn't go, I wonder why I'm not going to listen to this if you don't give me some scripture pretty soon. You know, so just chill out. Relax, everything's fine, don't freak out. You know, I'm reading your scripture without saying where it's at, and we'll talk about it all the time. Other times, you know, like last week, I went through a lot of it, St. John chapter 6, read almost the whole thing, or read a lot of it. You can't read all, it's a lot. Read the whole thing, went through and explained things, and before we talked about David, we used scripture after scripture after scripture, talk from the scripture to the scripture. Sometimes we do that, all right? So I know most of you don't mind, but for those who come on and are used to having things done and been told that's the only way to do it, it's not the only way to do it. Jesus taught in parables and didn't use scriptures every 5 minutes. That's why he didn't use scripture at all. Yeah, sometimes he did, but most of the time when he did parables and stuff, he was doing parables for a reason, okay? So the reason I'm saying it over and over again is because people need to get that religious brain that we all have, the things we've been told and taught, you know, if they don't do it like this, just reject it. they don't prophesy like this, you know, reject, they don't teach like this, just, you know, and, you know, if we never give scripture, then that's how you got a problem. You're always just like talking out of some book you read without some kind of foundation and saying things that are in the word and of the word, then yeah, you definitely got a problem. Right. Yeah. So there we go. We'll just keep saying that until it washes away a lot of those things so people won't struggle and miss out on information, on good information, because of that thing. All right. A lot of people use a lot of scripture, but they ain't got no revelation going at all. I've seen that a lot. A lot of scripture, no revelation, just tradition, man-made stuff, and some of it sounds really good, but it's usually not. Not revelation. All right, revelation has scripture, and sometimes revelation just does parable-type talking, putting information together that people understand, trying to get them, taking them somewhere. And then later on, as we begin to confirm things with certain scriptures. All right. So thank you for giving tonight. If you want to give tonight, we would love to receive that. Just let me know. If you need the link to PayPal, I can send that to you. If you need any of the other ways that we give, you use the phone number. Oh, yeah, Carmen. Okay, thank you, Carmen. Thank you. All right, so what we got going on here is you can give on the Cash App if you want. And if you want to give on the Cash App, it's the phone number, 214-505-8719. And also, if you want to give on Zelle, which is a banking system thing, a system that you go and you put your same thing, put the phone number 214-505-8719. And then if you want to use, Venmo, you use the same thing. Everything's by the phone numbers. The only thing that's not is PayPal. PayPal is the only thing that you need, me to send you the link on. So if you need that link for that, I would love to send it to you. Like somebody asked tonight for our address, our PGN address, if you want to mail something, we'd be more than happy to get you that address if you'd like. Just ask for that. If you'd like to send in an offering, some people like to mail in checks. It just depends on what's going on. So we will do that. And so let me know, and all will be well. All right, so we have the Cash App with the phone number. We have Vimeo with the phone number. We have Zelle banking system set up with that. Same thing, phone number. And then we have PayPal, and I believe that's all the ones that we have, other than a mailing address. And it's P.O. Box 460-733, Garland, Texas, 75046. All right? It's Randy Chandler, or RCM, P.O. Box 460-733, Garland, Texas, 75046. All right, that's the mailing address. And then PayPal, if you need that, ask for the link. I'll be glad to send it to you. And we can do that, and it'll be cool. Okay? All right, hang on a second. I'll be right back with you. Hope you're able to grab some of the teaching tonight, start understanding the physical part of why communion is so powerful. Why Jesus said, "Eat my body and drink my flesh." He wasn't just trying to, you know, be totally spiritual. He was talking, about his body was precious and holy, and he never sinned. So when we eat him and drink him, we're making a transition. Something happened. All right, I'll be right back. Okay, thank you, everybody, for giving tonight and getting it all together here. Thanks for all that, and we are going to pray over that. We're going to take his body and drink his blood here in a second, and maybe we'll start understanding a little bit more about communion and getting a hold of it the way God wants us to, not as a Catholic, not as a Pentecostal, not as a Church of God in Christ, but as a Jesus person, getting revelation like we've never seen it before, never known it before. I think God's going to show us some things that we've never seen before. Some of it may be what other people do a little bit, say a little bit, but you know what? I think we're going to see things in a whole different light. And if we come to it purely without any preconditioned teaching, then maybe we'll see things we've never seen before, and it'll become something brand new for all of us. Right? Like tonight we're talking about the physical part of our bodies, our brains. You know, when you eat Jesus' body, you don't just eat the skin, right? You eat the whole thing. His heart is everything. Every part of it, you eat his body. His body is everything in it. All right, so really, really cool. Here, where we going? All right, one more time. You want to give on Cash App? You just need a phone number. Same thing with Zelle. Gelle, phone number 214-505-8719. Also Vimeo. Venmo, whatever it's called. It's also the same thing, phone number. And then I said Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, and then PayPal. PayPal, you need a link for that. If you'd like to have that, never give them the form PayPal. Maybe you have a PayPal account. We would love to, you know, receive an offering and pray over it tonight. If you'd like to do that, that'd be great. We've got. I was ready to do... almost 10 o'clock, so we're running just about right. Quit teaching a little bit early tonight. Wow, awesome. We're going to connect into the physical part, y'all. We need everything that Jesus made and created, everything God created. He created every part of our body. We need it all to be brand new now, you know, as much as we can until we're resurrected. Can I talk about the reward system just for a second? The reward system, let's get our communion and we'll talk about the reward system. With communion, and I'll kind of share that with you a little bit. Another arena of the award system, where God rewards us, and we get, you know, rewards. We do good, and the more we accomplish, the more rewards we get. All right, okay, when you're training a dog, dogs just, you know, you do something. You finally get them to do something and give them a little bit of snack that they love, and they want to do it again. And it gets them in the energy of desiring to want to learn, right? Because why? You learn how to, you know, feed them things that they like. And so, you know, being trained, how can I say this? Being trained, when you do that, you get a reward, right? So I'm going to share this with communion tonight, and then we'll specify a certain area to pray over it. If you guys are with me on that, we'll do that together. All right, let's just lift up the bread, if you would, and we're going to kind of get rolling on that. Some of the things I want to share with you tonight, that's some revelation that will help open you up to some things maybe you never thought about. All right. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. If you have your bread there, lift it up together. And for Paul the Apostle said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body. My body. You're eating my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lift it up. We bless it and we break it. Let's eat tonight. Eat the body. What part of the body do you need tonight? Remember, Angie had an accident in the car, damaged her. The car wreck damaged her brain. What wasn't working? Her leg. So did she need a leg job or did she need a brain job? Well, she needed a brain job so that her leg would work. When her brain got healed, her leg started working. So we're going to talk more and more about this. We're going to connect this stuff. So you know how to designate and specify your eating of communion. So we thank you, Lord. We just give you glory for your body. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And we've eaten that now. And now, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, the strengthener. Communion tonight, the way the Lord has led us, when you start seeing where in John 6, we talked about this last week. I went through and read bunches of scriptures, just one after the other last Thursday. And scripture after scripture, you know, laying it out real plain and saying that, you know, Jesus like literally, you know, scared people off because he said, you're going to eat my body and drink my flesh. I mean, you got to eat me. That's what he was saying. There's some versions say, you got to eat me. You know, you got to eat me. Eat all of me. Not just some of me. You want to be completely whole? Eat all of me. So what he's talking about is, now watch this. This has to do with the reward systems. Because every time we do things with God and for God to redeem every part of our being, that's the purpose that we're here on the earth for, and in Christ Jesus, is to redeem or get back our body, soul, spirit, soul, and body completely bought back. You know, like when Jesus comes, let's say Jesus is going to come, and I'm just going to say, you know, this is not a number, but yeah, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, let's say 10 years. He's going to come back in 10 years. Here we are, you know, so what's our goal for when he comes breaking through the clouds? What's our goal that we want to be there when he shows up? You know what it is? That we do all we know to bring redemption to spirit, soul, and body. Your brain, when he comes, and I see him open up those, and we get caught up, whatever you believe about all that, but when he comes back, I want to be presented to him as a chaste virgin, only having him, my thoughts, my brain, you know, my body, my skin, even if I'm 100, if I'm 75, 80 years old, whatever I am, when he comes, I want to be like, you know, like Moses in a sense, you know, I want to have my full capabilities. You know, that's what main thing, one thing that Moses had when he went up into the mountain. I mean, he was, you know, strong. He had a strong mind. He had a strong. So what's that tell us today? What did Jesus have? Yeah, the same thing. Because, you know, even though Moses had disobeyed, but yet he had so lived under the law. He so lived with the words God gave him, the law he showed him about how to eat, how to dress. Don't poison yourself in any fashion or form. And because of that, guess what, man? His mind was sharp. His eyes were sharp. So when Jesus comes back, our job, I think, is learning how to do all the things that God has given us to totally redeem and keep our brains like Moses did, like Jesus did, and others. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit, friend, is not defiled with sickness and disease. So those of us who get sick sometimes, and we, you know, I think everybody gets sick of something somehow. You know, I still have a little bit of a chest thing going on. I've never totally conquered that. I've conquered colds and a lot of things, but, you know, I haven't got that yet. So I still have something that when he comes, I want to go, thank you, Jesus, for showing me how to conquer and make my lungs, you know, 100% functioning. Where there's no disease, no phlegm, no nothing, clear through and through. So what do we do? Everything we do, like now we're learning how to take communion. That communion has to do with eating his body. What part of his body do you need tonight? You need his brain? I do. I want all of his brain. So I eat his. So when I take communion, sometimes I'm eating his brain. Yeah, I'm gonna eat all of it eventually. That's why we do it every week. You know, we do it every week here on PGN. I do it every day. Because I want to eat his whole body. I want my whole body to be redeemed. So when he comes back, I want to be better than Moses, as good as Jesus, in my body, my mind be fully active, fully sharp, my body be fully healed. Fully. Why? Because I learned how to activate what he died for. And communion is one of the biggest connections to our physical body, because he said, eat my body. And then Paul the Apostle says right here, most people miss it.
He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Now, what Jesus said about eating his body, and where a lot of the people left him except his main disciples, and they were shaken by what he said. The Bible says they were shaken by what he said. But then they just said, you know, where else can we go? So what was he saying? He was saying, you know, you need your physical brain, your eyes, just like Moses, his brain, his eyes were sharp. You know why his eyes were sharp? Because his brain was sharp. Your eyes are not dull because of, you know, your physical, your eyeballs are messed up, unless they've been damaged physically. They're messed up because something in your brain is not functioning. The brain runs the eyes. And unless there's been some physical damage in there, your eyes get old and dim because something in your brain is getting old and dim. Your circulation is not flowing functionally, so your eyes are not working. So when Jesus comes back, I want to be able to say, yeah, Jesus, just like Moses, even better. Hallelujah. I didn't strike the rock. I spoke to the rock. Hey, here we go. Yeah, my eyes are good, Jesus. Yeah, he said, yeah, they are, Randy. They're looking good. My brain is good. He said, yeah, you really did a good job finding about that brain stuff. Good job. You ate my body. And you got revelation on the physical things of the body. And some people think, well, what are you talking about the physical part of the body for? Isn't that like some kind of weird religion or something? You know, what do you care about that for? Because Jesus said, eat my brains. Why do we need his brain? Because we need a brain job, friend. I don't know about you. You don't need a brain job. I think if you don't think you need a brain job, that means you really need a brain job because you don't even know you need a brain job. Right? Yeah. So come on. let's eat his body. I'm going to start, you know, saying things to provoke people to think. Did he just say eat Jesus' brains? Well, man, you eat Jesus' brains and you get Jesus' brains functioning in your brain. What kind of brain is that going to be? It's going to be a hundredfold brain. You know, like I said, like Moses. Moses went out. The reason the point was about his eyes being sharp is because his brain was sharp. Well, because his physical eyes were, you know, like had some special thing on. It was his brain. His brain. He learned how to live in God's presence. It's one of the things, living in his presence and eating. Because when God told him all the things to do and not do, that's what he did. He was a good Jew. He did what God said. And guess what? He didn't get any of the diseases that all the other nations get because all the other nations are eating mixed blood there and mixed animal meat here and mixed chicken meat, mixed this meat with that meat and that animal, and this food with that food, and come up cooking it all these weird ways. That's why God lined all that out. He's saying don't do meat like that because it messes it up and it'll make you sick. It's not like, oh, you know, if you're a Christian, then let's see, what can we do? Okay, don't eat your meat a certain way. No, he's telling us that because that's what the way he made things, and said if you cook it the wrong way or do something to it, it will hurt you. It will damage you. It will go and get into your body and poison your body. It's not about being under the law, and we can't do that because we're not under the law anymore. No, friend, it's much deeper than that. We'll never sacrifice Jesus. We'll never sacrifice an animal again. What are we going to do that for? Jesus was the Lamb of God. That part of the law, we'll never do that again. They'll never be sacrificed again. We never need an animal. I don't care what the Jews do, what all these friendly Jew people who are friendly with the Jews and think, well, you know, maybe we need to offer some sacrifice animal. Are you kidding me? Are you guys losing your mind? Are you crazy? Bunch of loony birds, you know, and that we don't need that. Jesus is that. But eating right, we need to learn to listen to some of that stuff. Yeah. So we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We have to understand why God told him not to do certain things and why they're smarter and why the Jews, in some ways, why some of the Jews who have been committed to God are smarter and more intelligent and do some great things. You know why? Because they really heed to the law of God. And it was in their genetic code from family generation after generation. Therefore, their genetic code is clear. Their brain isn't all fogged out and they're not having certain issues because their parents before them were, you know, Jews that obeyed the law. Of course, not all of them, of course, but you know what I'm saying? And what are they? They're geniuses. They have more genetic leaning toward inventions and creativity. Why? Because they're special? Well, they're special, yeah. They're special because God told them how everything was made and how to eat it and what not to eat, because if you don't, it's going to make your brain dull. Pretty soon your eyes are going to start getting dull, not because your physical eyes are getting dull, but because your brain is not getting good blood flow, and you're not able to feed your eyes and tell your eyes, you know, when you eat carrots is not for your physical eyeballs, it's for your brain. The part of your brain that makes your eyeballs work is carrots, one of them. There's many things. I'm just using it as an example. So when you're feeding your brain, you got to learn to feed your brain, friend. Why? Jesus? You think Jesus didn't feed his brain? You know why God told him eat all the different things? Because it fed their brain. Now that's why they're known to be wealthy. A lot of them, not every Jew's smart and intelligent and creative, because, you know, some of their genetic codes got messed up down. They got some of those bad genes from Jews who disobeyed God. But those who obey God, you know, yeah, they're special people, because the physical realm that they stay clean with, like Peter, he, you know, when God told him you can eat pig now, he's going, I'll never eat pig. God, I've never have eaten pig. Never will. You know why Peter was sharp and had, you know, he had his problems, but man, he had some great stuff going on. You know, part of it was because of what he ate physically, what God said. Therefore, his brain was, you know, working in ways that other people's weren't. Amen? That's why he told God, I don't do that, man. I don't want to have diseases that the other nations have. I don't want to have brain damage and Alzheimer's and dementia and cancers and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to have that stuff. So we eat right. You know, you can eat whatever you want. You're not going to go to hell, and God's not going to condemn you for it, but it's still going to mess your body up, and your brain will start tweaking out on you. Yeah, it'll start freaking out on you. How come you're not feeding me, man? You need to get, you know, your brain will tell you, go get the law, go get the Bible and read where God talked to Moses about what to eat, what not to eat, what to dress, and that. And well, that's just under the law. We don't do that. That's what your mind will argue with you. Your spirit man's going, come on, man, let's go do it. We don't do that. We're not under the law. What the purpose of all that is to keep you physically sharp and healthy, and feed your body and your brain the right foods that God knows he made you. He knows what you need, and he knows what you don't need. You can do it if you want to, if you're stupid. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Stupid. Because once you learn something and you see it, then you got to be stupid to go eat stuff on a regular basis. Now, there's some things I eat once a week. It's what you eat daily. This is what I've talked about for years. It's what you eat daily and what you do daily that blesses you or curses you. Bondage is something that you do, you can't stop, that you got to do regularly. Maybe not every day, and maybe several times a day. Right. So it's what I do once a week, you know, for 15, 20 minutes, you know, if my Coke float thing that I love to do, and I do it every week. I have for, you know, a few years, you know, all the rest of the week, you know, I eat good, do good, and I don't do it again, you know, once a week, literally. People don't believe that because they're so addicted to sugar. They think, hey, there's no way he's doing that, because once you eat that, the next day your body's going, I want some more of that. Does it ever do that to you, Chandler? Yep, it does. It really does. My brain talks, man, that sure was good last night. You sure? Yeah, it's going to be okay to do it again. It's at the weekend. That's my brain memory. It's the weekend. The sugar's talking to you. You have to know when the sugar's like, you know, hey, man, it's fine. You know, hey, you're not going to die. Not like the devil done it, but it sure did. Your blood going, man, that was it. So do you deal with that? Yeah. Do I do it? No. One time I break that is when I have Thanksgiving, Christmas, some holiday thing, you know, a special holiday thing like Christmas and Thanksgiving, that kind of thing. I eat pumpkin pie and eat whatever I want, you know. But it's what you do every day. It's what you do daily. Give us a day our daily bread means, you know, it's kind of a thing of if you work in the Word of God every day, guess what? It's going to change you. If you're eating trash every day, it's going to mess with you. Miss a day not getting in the Word, you know, hey, you're not going to die from it. You're not going to be as sharp, but, you know, but if you're in the Word, you know, once a week and that's it, you know, then your devotion to God and your revelation is going to be very low. I hope you're getting this tonight. We're doing a lot of talking, a lot of truth sharing, a lot of revelation, and it's going to mean a lot if you can grasp it. Not let that religious spirit get out of you and say, You know, he's not giving scripture with that, so I'm not going to believe that. Yeah. So, all right, here we go. All right, I'm gathering offerings together. Thank you for that. I'll be right back. All right, I think we are ready to roll here. Thanks for being patient tonight, hanging in there and all that. Trying to make sure we get everything in. Gonna get through Cash App, need the phone number. Same thing with Zelle, also with Venmo. And 214-505-8719, if you want to give that way. If you want to give through PayPal, just ask for the link at 214-505-8719. I'll send it to you. If you'd like to give through that, that'd be great. All right. Moment, I'll be right there. All right. Pray over offerings tonight. Thank you. Done a lot of sharing tonight. Some of the stuff may be a little heavy. Hopefully you're kind of at least getting the surface of it. And we're going to keep sharing it in different ways, different angles. So maybe we can grab a hold of it that when Jesus comes, the reward that we're going to get is that we're going to be, you know, greater than Moses. We've got a sharp mind, you know, sharp, healthy body. And he was like 80-something, I think, but, you know, strong and healthy and sharp, you know, so that's what we want. And that's the reward. We will get the reward for how much of our body, how much of our eyes, how much of our brain, how much of our physical life that we've learned how to redeem and stay redeemed through the Word of God, through the body of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Revelation, right? We will be rewarded for if some of the people has 50% of their brain working, rewarded for that. And the rewards, we'll talk about that later, what you get exactly, you know, for, so your body's 50%, you know, healthy or 80% healthy, you're going to get rewarded 80%. There's going to be rewards for that. Yeah. And so, yeah. So, all right. Very, very cool. We're going to get a hold of that. And those who, because the whole purpose of being on the earth with Jesus is who really heeds the word and gets developed back closer to our origin, like Adam and Eve and like Jesus, those who are closest to the origin in our belief system, our physical body, our brains, like Adam and Eve were, you know, without any sin. You know, walking with Jesus, those who are the closest to that are going to be the ones who rule and reign with Christ. It's not just how spiritual you are. It's your physical body. Yeah, it's everything that you've learned how to heal, deliver, and change through the renewal of the Word of God. Those who really go at it are going to be heavily rewarded with great responsibilities that are going to be awesome. And you're going to have crowns, and, you know, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be rewarded. You're going to be honored. You're going to be, God's going to honor you. And we're all made to be honored, believe it or not. All right, awesome. Hope you're getting that physical reward thing that we're going to have. Like Moses got, I think he got a great reward because he, you know, obeyed God's laws as far as, you know, God telling him how he made man, how to eat, and how to preserve his brain, make his brain work better, brain food. Everything God told him had to do with brain food as well as, you know, everything else. And it's the brain. That's why his brain was sharp. And those who obeyed, you know, the way God laid it down and did what he said, knowing how the manufacturer made the body, then we eat that, then you're going to have sharp brains, sharp minds. We're going to get rewarded for that. Those of us who are sick and have sick brains and need a lot of help in our brains, which I think we all do, you know, we get that redeemed. And apply the blood and apply the word, we're going to be greatly rewarded for that. I mean, greatly rewarded. That's going to give us, you know, big things to take care of for him. We're going to be, you know, generals in his army. We're going to be training people. And, yeah, so it's really important that we get this stuff. If you don't activate communion and the part communion does, then your physical body is not going to maintain and become strong. And then much less eating the way God tells you to eat, because he said, take, eat. Eat, 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 take, eat. This is my body, eat. So what is eat? So eating is everything. And when God created heaven and earth, he told Adam and Eve, you can eat anything you want, but don't eat that one thing from that one tree. Don't eat. It's about eat, eat, eat. Everything's about eating, friend. That's why Jesus says, eat my body. It's like going, you know, if you eat my body, you're going to understand how everything is made. Because when you eat my body, you're going to get revelation on everything I've ever made and done, including you. When you understand that, which God wants us all to know, then what are you going to do? You're going to be healthy, man. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be prosperous. You're not going to have to struggle to try. You're going to know how things work. You're going to be working them. Holy Spirit. Okay, it's only 10:21. Not doing bad. Thank you tonight for everything. Glad you're here tonight. You know, on Thursdays we pray over offerings, we pray for people, and we try to revelate and take communion and share, you know, like tonight, a very special message. I think the whole message tonight was really about leading toward communion and designating ourselves to activate ourselves toward communion and, you know, doing that thing, man. Extremely important. Everything we do that God tells us to do has something to do with fixing something that is either broken, like, you know, genetics or genes, right? Deformities of any kind, whether small or big. That's what the Word of God does. And those of us who let it, our rewards are going to be, you know, amazing. Not only for now, but we walk in hundredfold. We start understanding things. You know what hundredfold understanding is? I'm sorry, but I'm kind of sorry. I'm going to go on with this a little more. A hundredfold understanding is understanding how things work. When God told Moses how things work, he was getting hundredfold understanding. Why? Because God was telling him how everything was made and why you do it. Most people, they don't have hundredfold understanding because they want to do whatever they want to do, eat and talk and think, and, you know, they let things go and they serve, they love Jesus, yeah. But they're not hundredfold because they don't understand the full creative how God the Creator created human beings and how we need to function is not a law that we get under that destroys us. It's something that we learn that makes us whole and keeps us whole. But we don't sacrifice the lamb anymore. He's already been taken. That's done. That's fulfilled. We don't need another thing. I don't care what some of these people are going to tell you, and they're going to, there's going to be a lot of people tell you, a lot of Christians go, well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with offering up sacrifice to God. Yeah, it's worthless. It is worthless. Jesus fulfilled that part. That's done. It is finished. There'll be no more offerings. Jesus was the only way. Is the only way. Yeah. And they're going to get caught up into the mix. They're going to mix, you know, Jewish culture with Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, we don't mix those things. We take what God says, take what the Holy Spirit says, and that's all. We don't mix them. We're not going to mix. A lot of people are going to be so holy, man. Oh, yeah, we're mixing the Jewish things with the Jesus things. And yeah, and I'm in a sense, you know, we do look at the old, some of the old, like I'm talking about. We do look at that. But Paul the Apostle filtered all the law, the reason God used him, because he knew the law. He knew the things that God would bring into the new, like communion, like the Passover. He brought that in. He said, the Lord Jesus, and he brings it in. He said, this is New Testament. But he said, we don't need any more sacrifice. Jesus was sacrifice. We don't need that anymore. Paul was very much into it. He was against Jesus saying he was the Messiah, you know, that what Jesus had explained to him, that I am the lamb that was slain. When Paul got a hold of that, he said, That's not needed anymore. That's over with. But, you know, eating right and those things, none of it saves you. None of it really heals you. But so much, it can help make your body better. But, you know, what we do is we, while we're alive, we can live to the fullest. 100-fold. That's what our goal is. You'll be heavily rewarded for that with blessings, financial blessings, responsibilities. You'll be ruling things. You'll be the one who tells people what's going to happen, right? That's what happens when you rule and reign with Christ. You're going to be the one telling people, no, we don't do that. Well, no, you're not going to do that. That's over. You can do this and this and this. You can't do that. You're going to be telling people how the ways of God. And they're going to listen. They will. Well, the priest of the Lord. Okay. Andrea. $5. Thank you, Andrea. Thank the Lord for the blessings on Andrea, God, for her brain, her body, God, that you help her understand this message tonight, that we taught on and teaching on, so she can fully activate her thoughts, not just spiritually, but the physical thoughts being clear, making the spiritual thoughts clear. And those two things together become one. And therefore, she can walk in clarity and knowing 100 fold. That's what she chooses. You gotta live the word, man, right, every day. Not just in some ways, but in every way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea, God, opening up her mind, showing her, you know, what brings us health in every way. Right? We don't have to need anything from man. Right? When God gives us something, when God shows us how things work, We don't need man's things, right? God is our source, and he doesn't want us to be addicted to anybody. Oh, yeah, I got to go to the government, get my money, guys. You know, I mean, you got retirement things you pay for all the years, but, you know, when you can work and you can do things, and you're going to, like, go sit on your rear and go pick up a government check because you know, whatever reason you convince yourself you can't do nothing, that's not God. Moses said, man, you know, I mean, he went, he was ready to go. Yeah, God was his source. He made mistakes, but look what God did with that man. It's amazing. All right, and Nicole, $7.20. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for the divine opportunity you've given her, God, to become one, showing her how to become one with your purpose, become one with the people that God has called you to be one with. They're called our friends of God. You know, our relationships that Jesus, you know, had John, the Revelate John, you know, leaned on his breast, and Peter and James, and some of the other disciples, one of his close ones, of course, you know, was called and used to betray him is a God thing. And that start showing Nicole every person that's called into her life what their purpose is and develop that purpose, develop it to its fullest. You know, if it's a business relationship, friendship, then develop that thing. If it's a revelation thing, an inventive thing, a creative thing, and learning how to listen to those that speak your language, the language of your mind, the language of your creativity, the language of the things that what they speak, you hear things maybe that other people don't hear. Become one with them in that sense. You never have to meet them, you never see them, never have to know them, but their information. You know, we can have 10 people read the same information and come up with 10 different things of what it means, right? So everybody connects into teachings and understandings and what people revelate about. And some people are not called to do it. Therefore, they're not going to understand it, right? Some people were called to be one with as far as connected for you know, God will use them to feed you. So that when they feed you information or whatever they're feeding you, it activates, you know, purpose in your life. It activates God's will in your life. It activates your gifts. It activates, you know. So God's going to show you how to become one with the people that, you know, you're called to and that are called to you. And we don't need a bunch of those. We just need, you know, the few that God brings. And then we have a lot of other relationships, but those few are important because they feed us. Yeah. Peter, James, and John were fed by Jesus much more than all the rest of them, although the rest of them got a lot of revelation. But, you know, so, he's giving you ears to hear, and when you hear something, you're able to hear things other people don't hear, and therefore you're obeying in ways that other people don't obey.
right? And obedience blesses you and rewards you. So the things that God has designed for our life, people, the business situations, the working situations, all of it is a call to you to, you know, connect you to something, to learn something. Even if the negative things are there, we're learning from the negative things. Sometimes we need to learn from the negative things, what not to do. Right? We see, oh, wow, I don't want to do that. Good. And I've had God bring people in my life that were just, you know, messed up. And he said, I brought this person into your life for a season because I want you to see what not to do and how things can get a hold of people and mess them up. I want you to see it firsthand. And it was people that I love, and it was heartbreaking. Therefore, it taught you even deeper. And it touches your heart. You see people doing things that they completely justify. And within the they decided that this is okay. It's like David decided, hey, it's okay that I, you know, do what I did and killed her husband. And, you know, he got rid of him because, he just commissioned himself that it was okay. And that's what people do. And to watch that closely is heartbreaking. And then see the end result of it. It was designed, those things were designed to teach you something. It's like Judas was designed to do something for Jesus. He was designed. He was part of the purpose. He was part of the tragedy. And, you know, Judas is the one who brought the priest to take the lamb to be slain. Judas did that. And, anyway. Starting, God showing you the purpose of relationships, what they're for, what they're about, what their activation is, what are their purposes in your life. And don't go beyond that, and don't go below that. Learn how to partake of it completely. Amen. All right. Jesus, becoming one. That was an amazing thought process right there. Becoming one with God's will and the people that God has sent, you know, to you. You know, in every area of life. And even the negative ones. You know, when you start seeing them, you know, like, Joseph, his brothers were sent to him to send him. They sent him. FedEx, back to Egypt. And they got paid for it. That's amazing. Yeah. They didn't have to pay for that one. They got paid. All right. Paul, $7.21. Thank you, Daryl, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for the love and the fellowship, God. I see love just bringing you to life, man. Bringing you life. Love brings us life. You know, we love people. We love God. We love life. When you start loving yourself, one of the things God's been showing me a lot, Daryl Paul, is that loving yourself, helps you when you're going through people attacking you. If you love yourself, you know, people attack me sometimes, and I attack myself too. Well, yeah, that's right. They're right about that. You know, and Lord, what are you doing agreeing with that? Well, it's kind of true. He said, well, I don't want you to agree with it. You know, I'm going to change you. They're not going to change you. They may be used for this, that, and that, but I'm going to be the one changing. So look in agreement with it, you know. So, let me show you, let me teach you. I'm changing you with love. Some people try to change us with, you know, of course, love has correction. Love has chastisement, but it's done in love. Condemnation corrects. Or it looks like it's correcting and trying to change us, but it never gets us anywhere. In fact, it gets worse. Because it's not done in love. It's done in, you know, the wrong spirit, a mean spirit, a deceptive spirit. But love, when it corrects and changes, you know, we move forward. We move up. We change. We love ourselves. And the more we love ourselves, the more we're going to be able to love others. If I'm loving myself, I'm loving everybody. You see what I had back in high school, and I had this girl, my first girlfriend, just in love with Teresa, man. She was like awesome. Oh my gosh. I just loved her, and I thought she loved me too. So everybody I saw, I just loved everybody. What happened to Chandler, man? He changed. He just liked everybody. He's always friendly, but now he's really friendly. What's up? He must have, you know, got something. Yeah. Yeah, I fallen in love for the first time. And so, same thing with Jesus. You know, but the thing is, instead of, you know, being able to love everybody because we fell in love,
with somebody else. It's more falling in love with yourself and God showing you, you know, that why he loves you. Ask God to show you their whole, why he loves you. There's some things he loves about you that you don't even know he loves about you. And he wants to show you, because it's going to make you love yourself too. When you love yourself, you're going to love Nicole more. You're going to love your people you're around more. You're going to be able to tolerate them more. You're going to find life more interesting, more and more interesting all the time. Because why? Because when you're loving yourself, you're happy everywhere you go. You don't need somebody to love you. It's nice, but the first love is loving yourself. The Bible says, first John, that we love because he first loved us. So what is it? Let him love you. Let him tell you why he loves you. Let him show you why he loves you. And then all that will bring correction. It'll bring change. And you'll start loving yourself. Even in your faults, you'll love yourself. God does. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. You know, a bunch of heathen sinners who hated God. Didn't know God, but he loved them. Well, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You start loving people, man. You start liking life. You start wanting to talk to people. I used to try to stay away from people too much. Be friendly. Hi, how are you doing? They don't want to talk to them. Okay, well, yeah, I got to go now. You know, I didn't like talking to them, you know. And so the more I fell in love with myself, because I saw how God loved me, and he was, yeah, still correcting me, still changing me. And even when I did mess up stuff, it was like the condemnation was not there anymore. That much, you know. Not a lot. Man, I still love myself, but for them, having fun, enjoying life, I'm being a friend to sinners, never being able to do that before, changed my whole life. Why? Because I literally driving the road a couple of months ago, and I said, man, Jesus, I love the new me. It's been developing for the last few years, but I said it out loud. So I just love the new me. Thank you. This is amazing. I would never thought it'd be this good. Yeah, so bless him, Jesus, with that. And then in the love realm, God, that love himself, and you know, love his neighbors and anybody else, who will find just loving and seeing things through the eyes of love and working everything out through the eyes of love, which brings hope and you know, things can be worked out. All right, Shalonda, $10. Thank you both for that. Shalonda, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Show her your blessing, God. Show her your blessing. Let her see what real blessings are. Sometimes blessings can be a thing. Sometimes blessings can be people, right? Sometimes blessings come in many different ways, Shalonda. God wants to show you all the different ways that God blesses. We think of God's blessing as, bringing provision, which is definitely wonderful. You know, and, you know, financial provision, you know, provision of friendship, provision of love, provision of, you know, but then there's all these different ways that God is, you know, blessing you and rewarding you in ways that you just think, well, I don't really consider that a blessing. The Lord says, why not? I did that for you. You did that for me? I mean, that was not just something I just put together. I give you the thought. I give you the information. I give you the desires. And it blesses you. I did that. I did it through you, in you. I gave the thoughts and the information to you. I gave the strategy. I gave the way to do things. I put it in you. Because you were seeking me and crying after me. God, help me understand how to work these things, how to deal with people. Pretty soon you're dealing with people and it's been a blessing with you. And who think gave it to you? It was a cry of your heart. You asked me, the Lord said, and I showed you. So I'm blessing you. That's the way I'm blessing you. That's me. So when you start seeing all the different ways God's blessing you, sometimes we pray prayers, Shalonda, you know, as I do. We pray prayers, and then we forget we prayed them. In our hour of desperation about something. Oh, God, please show me how to, you know, drive this car or whatever it is. You know, act, you know, treat people in the ugly thing. Show me how to do that. I don't know how. I can't do it. And then you find yourself being able to do it. You're like, where do you think that came from? It came from an answer prayer that you even forgot you prayed about. So God wants to open up all the different ways he's blessing you and watching over you so you can know it. Literally know it and go, wow, look at what God's doing in my life. Now, God's doing this. It's going to make you happier, happier and happier, happier. All the time happier. Angela, South Carolina, $12 cynical. Thank you, Angela, for that. Thank you, God, for the complex mind you give it to God to unravel. God's going to unravel your brain more and more and more. Sometimes our brain, we have a lot of different things, a lot of good things trying to work at the same time. And so God has to go in there and separate it out, you know, slow down some parts, and get our brain functioning, because our brain's a very complex thing. And when there's, things that are not functioning properly because of DNA, things pass after generation, then your brain is, out of balance. One part of your brain starts working, and the other part of your brain is not quite ready for it, and then it confuses you, and the other part of the brain. So the brain is made to heal itself, fix itself, and do away with the anxiety energy, because when the brain's working right, there is no anxiety. Right. Well, anxiety comes from our brain not working together with itself, because there's electrical things that are, confusion is like different parts of the brain not working in 1, 2, 3, 4. One part of your brain works, goes to the second part, goes to the third part, goes to the fourth part, and then you got a complete thought, a complete way of doing something. But when it goes from 1 to 3 to 4 to 1 to 3 to 2 to 2 to 3 to 2 to 4 to 1, it's because, DNA issues. And God has designed your brain to be whole. And it's complex and it's amazing. So God's going to show you how to, food can have something to do with it. Feeding your brain right. We're talking more and more about the brain, because the brain is the headquarters that runs things. And so they realize, about Angie's brain had been physically damaged. And her leg was limping. Her mouth was, what was that? She needed lip healing and leg healing? No, she needed a brain healing. When her brain got healed, her leg just started working. She felt the electricity go down from her brain. What was that? That wasn't just the anointing. Yeah, it was the anointing, but it was her electrical system, straightening it out. And all of a sudden, it's no more confused. It knows what to do. And it picks it up and it walks. And this is the whole purpose of, the brain thing and the soul and the brain. God's working on the soul and the brain at the same time, showing how they work together. So we can, it's very complex. And but once we start getting the brain healed, then the brain will fix itself and unconfuse itself. You don't have to work it. It's made to work things out. It's made to add a little this, take away that, put that together and fix that. Right? So... the brain functioning, 1, 2, 3, 4 instead of 1, 1, 4, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 1, 5, not even really a 5, whatever. And making you able to flow in your thought processes. Start them and 1, 2, 3, 4 and finish them. Start them 1, 2, 3, 4 and finish them. Instead of 1 and then 4 and then 3 and then, and it goes, it's not supposed to work like that. And it's not a person, it's not your fault, or the genetic code that needs to be, adjusted. And only the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can do that. He goes in and grasps a new code, and that new code starts saying to your brain to go, no, quit doing 1, 4, 1, 3, 2, 3, 2, 7, whatever. You go 1, 2, 3, 4. Start a thought, work a thought through, develop it, finish it. You see what I'm saying? So God's going to really be able to do that. You're going to find yourself, amazing things, and find some amazing things that you need, that you want to change, because you're going like, that's not fully developed thought. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just saying, as four chambers of your brain, I'm just using it as an example. It's probably more than that, but as far as when you break it down, but when it's working 1, 2, 3, 4, that means it's working, in process, and then life becomes easy. It's all because that's the way Jesus made it. And then we get the anointing on top of that. Wow. Amazing. All right, Sally, $15 from UK London. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Lord, for bringing peace to her, God, through
you know, being able to rationalize through, you know, not just rationalize by human instinct or whatever, but be able to work things through by coming reason with me, learning how to reason with the Lord. That's one thing I've been talking about lately, Sal, is that when we start to ask the Lord about everything, you know, it sounds foolish, sounds childish. There's so many things we can do without him. Why bother him about it? But it's not. He loves to do things with us. He loves to tell us how to do stuff. He loves to perfect things and make them better and say, you don't need to do that anymore. Do this out of it. And sometimes he'll adjust things. Sometimes he'll say, just stop doing that completely, and I want to give you a whole new thought process. And we're trying to work with, you know, a system that's broken and trying to get something of God in a broken system that he's been out of, you know, in many ways. And so sometimes he has to start over and have a whole different thought process, you know, that the system can work our stuff, but we have to come up with the ideas that God gives us and start putting them into action. You know, a thought comes, and a thought comes for a reason. It comes so you can start acting it. Like with this latest invention that I had, and I sit here and I think about that. I look at those certain things, and I look at them, and I look at the inventions that were made for that, and it just seems impossible to, you know, do anything about it. And so here's what happens. Here's the process. He gives me a thought. Okay, I want you to get up and just go over there, and I want you to get up and look at it real close. Look at it real close, and then start thinking about how you can undo that. Unravel it. I'm going like, yeah, I don't know anything about this thing. This is a pretty good invention. They were made. This is pretty cool. That's pretty foolproof. And he goes, yeah, that's what you think. Well, let me show you. So I start working things and playing with things, and I start out with one development of it, and, you know, it worked pretty good, but it was too bulky and too messy. And so I did that for a while, and I used it, and I had it down pretty good. I thought, Lord, I got an easier way. You're doing good. You're getting in the thought. You're getting the thought process going. This is what God does. We start out with something, we end up with something completely different. That's what happened with this. I started with the process of how to work that thing, and then finally I got the thing itself. And then when I get that, it was not sloppy, big, and bulky, but it was small, something I could put in my pocket. But it started out with, you know, big and bulky, and kind of rough looking. And, you know, and yeah, you had to work it a little bit too much, but it did work. But that took me to, you know, so what happened? I get a thought, I start working it, did it, didn't work, that thing didn't work, I tried it again, I tried something else, it almost worked, kind of worked, started working. So then I'm getting my thought process in how to, God's going to show me how to do something here. And pretty soon, I got this thing within, you know, a week or so, maybe a little longer than that. I got, you know, it gave me the full development because I got up and put that thought into action. And even though what I started out with, it didn't end up anything near like it. But you have to work faith without works, thoughts from God without works. You know, they never produce anything. I kind of sit there and just thought about it, you know, what do I want to do that for anyway? It's going to be dull. And all of a sudden, boom, I have this thing that it's amazing. What did Evan start with a thought? And I put that thought to work. And like I said, what I first started doing, that did work, but it was sloppy and messy and nothing. And, you know, I thought, well, hey, at least it works. I couldn't believe it worked, you know? Wow, that's amazing. And then he took it to another level and changed it completely. It ended up being something completely different, not even the same thing at all. But if I hadn't started, I wouldn't have gotten it. Like, God's really wanting to faith with works, thoughts he gives us, ideas, and then working it. Even if it seems foolish and stupid, do it. Just do it. Yeah, bless her, Jesus, and open her up and show her God. And all the different things that she struggled with and battled with, God can give her thoughts on how to overcome, how to walk out of it, how to get through it. But she's going to find herself on the other side and going like, man, this is amazing. All because the thoughts I started out with
didn't end up being the same. It was all changed by the time I got through, but it got me in the process. You have to just keep being persistent, you know, persevering it, and getting frustrated. I get frustrated when it was like, you know, I can't have it looking like that. That wouldn't do anything. It looks too bulky and fixes it in. It worked, but that was the only good thing about it, is that it worked. And he said, okay, you got that. Now you kind of got your brain going. Now, guess what? I'm like, let me show you the real way. Because I wouldn't have even been open to the real way had I not got the thought process going, and, you know, seeing how it worked and didn't work and played with it and messed with it. And pretty soon my brain, God put a thought in my brain. I saw this design. Man, you don't even need all that big bulky stuff. Okay, I know I'm repeating myself, but all right, Paulette, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. God, give Paulette strength to, you know, when she makes decisions, God, to know, you know, sometimes we have to process through thought, Paulette, and find out, you know, some, like we come up with Sally, you know, sometimes we start with a thought that we, oh man, this is God. When I first did that first thing, this is God, man. Look at that. That's God. It didn't look rough. Okay, who cares? It looked like I can make it look better. But, you know, it was just a beginning thought. And then it, you know, changed because God just kept pushing me, showing me, telling me, you know. And, you know, so the same thing with dealing with, you know, issues and problems and working things out. And, you know, God wants to give you that ability to think outside the box on dealing with people, dealing with situations. You know, we always do it the same old way we were always taught, and those ways can be good. But hey, just like my invention thing, what I started out with, it worked. People say, "Well, this what I taught you, honey. You know, your mama taught my mama taught me that, and my mama taught me that, and we honor that and we respect that. It was great. But guess what? God will take what they started out with." Bring it to a whole other level. We show you a whole different way to, you know, raise family, to talk to people, to have conversations with people, how to plant wisdom in people when they don't even know what's going on. Sometimes we have to plant wisdom in people without them knowing we're doing it. But most people want to, did you get that thought I just gave you? You know, I'll do that sometimes. Did you get that? Did you get it? Sometimes we intimidate people. Some people we can do that with our friends, but people that are growing up and becoming their own person, they have to find ways, wisdom on how to do things that they never even know that we're planting wisdom. They never even figure it out, but yet they walk away going like, man, you know, you can see it in their eyes. Like, I know you probably don't even know what she's saying, but that just gave me a good idea. And they walk away and they don't ever tell you. And yet, you know, okay. So there's different ways to help people learn things without sitting down and saying, okay, young man, young girl, I'm going to teach you something. You understand me? You're going to sit down, you're going to listen. That's what I, you know, you're going to sit down, you're going to, I don't want me. So Austin, what are you doing? You just, you know, their brain shut down because they're like, no, sit down, I'm going to listen to you. And so I learned different ways to, hey, you know, you'll get an ice cream, sit down in the store and do something and, you know, and talk and yak and just, and they don't even know it, but I'm doing the same thing I did when I said, sit down, I'm going to teach you something. They love doing it in a way that they don't even know what's going on. I'm distracting them with, let's go get some ice cream or let's go to the park, go do something, you know, drive around, whatever. And I'm just having fun talking and doing the same thing I did, except now they're able to receive it when before they were just like, okay, there's dad, trying to, you know, expect, yeah, whatever. So you know, the strategy's changed. Even though our parents before us did all these things, God wants to take it to the next level. And if they had done, gotten their ideas and their good things going on, we wouldn't be able to take the next level. So they laid the foundation for things. We build upon it with new areas of wisdom, new areas of understanding. Yeah. Yeah. We're laying our life down. They don't even know we're doing stuff, and they may not know it for 20 years. One day they wake up and go, yeah, I remember Grandma said something about that. And from that day on, and I finally figured out that she knew exactly what she was doing. She was helping me, and she didn't want me to know she was helping me because I'd get, you know, all tiffy about it. Boy, thank God for Grandma. Thank God for Mom, whoever, whatever thing. Yeah. And she laid her life down, didn't want to take credit for what she was doing,
by doing it the way that we didn't know what was going on, but we got it and it changed our lives. Helped us. All right, Mike and Veronica, $20. Thank you both for Mike and Veronica. Thank you, Lord, for seed time and harvest, God, that, you know, learning how to, you know, develop seeds, develop harvest, that the seeds that we plant have to be seeds from the Word of God and from the idea that God gives us, not just, you know, a bunch of human reasoning that our, you know, our own mind comes with. But we start getting ideas from God, and those ideas become keys that unlock. So God says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, or I'm giving you ideas, keys for the kingdom to unlock things. You're unlockers. You're going to unlock stuff. And when you unlock it, then when you get into what you unlock, then because you're not going to know what's in there, you know, you're going to discover things you've never known before, never seen before. And then you get in there and you learn what everything's about. You start asking questions. What's this? I've never seen that before. What's this? God wants to show you guys things that you've never seen before, never known before, and that nobody's ever thought about before. It's kind of like the prophet realm of getting things that, you know, ways that things have never been done before. Right? You look back 100 years ago, look at all the things we're doing that people thought about. If you have somebody who died 100 years ago and came back to life today, walking around, they go like, oh, my God, what is that? That's a TV. Or what is that? That's a car. What is that? We used to have horses. And what? You drive like that. What? You put gas in it? What's gas? I mean, they don't even know how things develop. And so God wants you to develop things and develop ways to do things and develop, you know, ways to pray and keys to the kingdom, keys to, like, you know, God gives me sometimes. He gives me, you know, new ways to look at things. And I learn from what my past and all my people that I've grown up with. I learn kind of from them, and I see some things I see that did pass down to me weren't right. And then God uses it to show me what is right. If that's not right, God, then what's right? And I bounce off that and go, wow, this is how we do marriage. This is how we do friendship. This is how we do love. This is how we do, you know. And I don't want to make the same mistakes that my mom and dad made. And they had them because they were genetically, you know, imparted inside them when they were in the womb. You know, we got to start looking at things as what they really are, genetics and genes and how to change that. That's what we need to focus our attention on in everything, is how to preach the word of God, how to pray, how to minister, to unlock those things that have been locked into us that are genetic. It's good. Like a curse, in a sense, they get passed down from generation to generation. Nobody seems to be able to stop it. Why? Because it's in the DNA. We grow up, and those thoughts start coming to us, and we start becoming that, and it starts training our mind to be a certain thing. So the keys to the kingdom are to, you know, shut that down and develop a whole new process of thinking, of praying, understanding why do we pray like that? Why do we use those particular words? You know, I don't know. Anyway, developers, God calling you guys developers. You're not just developing in one area, but develop, just a developer in general. Develop anything with God's help. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless them, minister to them, Jesus, and open up that developer realm inside them. Thank you, Lord, for Veronica, God, that you're opening up her heart to be a peacemaker and not a false peacemaker. This true peace comes when people get things right. Right? If we don't fix the problem, if we don't go to the root of the problem, we just keep cutting off everything at the top and make it look pretty for a little while, and then all of a sudden we can't figure out why that same weed keeps growing back in the same area. You realize that we need to deal with the root. So God's showing you how to deal with the root system when you pull things up by the root so that they don't come back and grow back, and you wonder why is it all coming back on us again. You know, and this is what happens. Most people, everybody goes through that. If we get rid of something, we chop it off at the top, wow, we finally, you know, got rid of that ugly last thing. And, you know, 3 months later, 6 months later, so we go back and go, oh, my God, there it is again. What happened? The root system was still there. You pulled up. And God's showing you guys how to do that. Keys to the kingdom. Keys for your families, for yourself, for others. All right, Regina, $20. Thank you both for that redemption 20, God, that redeeming power, buying back.
like, I see God using you to buy back things. Like, what do you mean buy back with money, Randy? No, I'm talking about buying things back with obedience, with obeying God. He tells you to do something, and because God says do it, God's motivating you, and we take the thought and we put it into action. Faith with works, faith without works is dead. Faith with works brings life to something. It changes it. It gives it new. It gives it a new beginning, a new thing. So thank the Lord for giving her the origin of things, and understand why God said that. You know, we see God says something, but sometimes we just kind of do it because God said it. But then to find out why He said it, when you find out why He said it, the things you learn from that, why God said that. Why did God say eat that? Because He just was wanted to come up with a law for Jews that's different from everybody else. Because they can be called Jews because they don't eat pig, you know, or whatever. No, He said don't eat pig because of, you know, how it messes you up. Right, so we start finding out what's behind what God said. You see the fruit, but you don't see the root. And God's showing you the root of things and going back into the root of a situation with wisdom. And God's showing you how to root it up, without making a big deal out of it. People don't even really know what's going on. But all of a sudden, you know, they find themselves that their life changes. And their struggles change. And their battles, you know, quiet down. And we all have struggles and battles. We're all going to have, you know, noise and, you know, issues and discussions and things going on. But how do you change where we end up with it? You know, why do we do that particular thing? Because it's where we end up. If we do it right, we end up in the right place. If we do it wrong, we end up in the wrong place. So thank you, Jesus, for that, for the blessing, and for causing her to see, the purpose of the thing. Like Moses knew the ways of God when, Israel just kind of knew the works. They saw the fruit. They didn't know the root. Moses was saying, man, I want to see your glory, God. He just got brought Israel out of Egypt. It's all the miracles and the signs and wonders. And he's up on the mountain going, okay, that was awesome. Yeah, man, but, I want to see your glory. You know, he wanted to see what made everything work. And that's why Moses' brain was sharp and his eyes were sharp. You know, he just obeyed God and got booted out a little bit there. I mean, you know, booted from, you know, taking Israel in, but he was sharp, man. You know why? Because he went after what's behind the scenes. What's making that work? I want to know the ways of a thing. Why does that medication work so well, or maybe doesn't work so well, or starts working for a season, and then the disease comes back? Or, you know, whatever, the thought process, the bad thought process comes back. Why? Well, we know the origin of the thing, or why God said don't do that, and you know, or do certain things, then we realize, you know, if we do what He says, you know, there is, then we're gonna, things are just gonna work out. Everything's just gonna work out. So what's behind what God says when He says don't do that? Just a rule, oh God, okay, I'm not doing it. Why do I not? I do it with God all the time. He tells me something, I'm going, like, when you come and take communion, I tried it for a few weeks, and I kept just, like, really wasn't doing it. He said, I thought I told you to take communion. I'm going, yeah, but, and I got kind of angry, you know, in a way. I said, well, why? Why do you want to take communion? I don't understand communion. I've never been a communion man. I was going to take communion. We do it every day. That doesn't make any sense. I take it, but once a year before. Like, now, every day? Come on, God, why? And that's what happened. And so, you know what? He showed me why. What was behind communion? Some people just do things just because they know they're supposed to. It's awesome, but man, when you know what's behind it, you start understanding one thing, then another thing, then another thing, then another thing. Pretty soon, you're like, you got so much wisdom on a certain issue. People are astounded. Jesus could unravel anything and explain anything, answer any question. You know why? Because He understood what's behind the scenes on everything. That's what Moses was really big on. Okay, God. But why? What makes that work? Okay, Mr. Mosey, I'll tell you. I love you. I like it. So that's what happened. Eve was curious. One of those. She wanted to know how things work. We all want to know how things work. And Satan comes along and uses that. So, it's God said if you eat that, you're going to be really smart like Him. And He doesn't want you to be like Him. So He's hiding that from you. She goes, what? Because she wanted to be smart. wanted to know what, you know, what's going on behind the scene, what's that, what makes everything work, you know, and it's a God thing and a good thing, but Satan knew it and used it to trip her up. Yeah, he's a liar and a thief. All right, Sandra and Robert, $25, thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord, for Robert. God, I thank you, Lord God, for giving him the thought process about like an army person, like a person in military and how that military works, how, you know, people are taught from the very beginning when they get into the army, that when you know, the sergeant shows up, you do what he says, you better do what he says, the way he says it, and when he says it, and how he says it, or else, you know, you start seeing how that, you know, order and getting people disciplined to be in order together, how to work together, getting people to work together is, and the order of that is amazing. That's when the army, they're really strong, and the sergeants are really good, and the, you know, whoever's training them is really good, and they learn how to do things, and they do it in unison, and man, they're like a weapon. It's more than just, you know, having an army. You got a weapon going on. And so God's showing you about that, how to put things in order. To, instead of having a bunch of good things, you have a bunch of good things that have become a major weapon, a major, you know, strategy, a major something that that is able to, you know, that because 10 people become one, they're able to accomplish things, you know. So unity and getting people on the same page, and like they learn in the military, you know, get the sergeant says, or else, you know. So they do that to get them to do it. They don't do it, they get chastised. They don't do it, they get put in the tank or whatever. Why? The whole thing is training. Some people need more tank time than others because they're harder headed, and you can't. It's not, you know, we rebuke a man or chastise a man or ground them or, you know, deal with them. Because some people need it more than others. So we have to find out who those people are. And some people we have to be harder on to change them. Some people you have to be gentle on, and they'll change with gentleness. Some people don't change except for being tough, you know. But when love's behind it all, yeah. So anyway, I don't want to say that, but thank you, Jesus, for my brother. Thank you, Jesus, for Sandra, God. Thank you, Lord, for the power to undo complex things, complex issues, things that are complex, things that are, you know, they have many different parts to them, and to break them down, like a car. If you know, most people don't understand how a car works. If you have any idea how a car works, you know, the different parts work together, then when something starts making a noise or quits working or smells a certain way, you know exactly what it is. You know, it's like God's showing you how when somebody's having a problem with something, this issue, that you smell something, you sense something, you've seen that before, you know exactly what the problem is. So you go to that, it's a car, you go to that, you go buy that part, and you know how to do things, you fix it yourself. I'm not recommending fixing things yourself, but you know what I'm saying. So it's like when it comes to fixing ourselves, fixing other people, helping other people, you know, when we understand a thing, we know how, what makes that work, that makes that work, that makes that work, that makes that work. When one of those things quit working, we know kind of what to replace, what to fix, how to tell somebody, you know, how to add something to their life. If they add that one thing to their life, it's going to, you know, balance out everything else. Or add two or three things, you know, take away some things. You can start, you know, putting oil in that engine and putting water in that, checking to make sure it's got that, because if you don't, it's not going to work. It's going to burn up. Same thing with people. Tell them how the things that they, you know, that they need to live in their thoughts, their imagination, their mind. And when we do that, you know, we start seeing people being made whole. And they need people like you to give them wisdom, you know, and how things work. Start working them. You know, human being. God's going to start showing you, unraveling the human being to you. You know, how the brain works. And you see something not working right, you go, okay, the part of the brain's not working. What do I need to do, Lord, to fix that brain? It's this and this and this. You go, yeah, I know. Yeah, I got that. So,
okay, so we need some change their diet a little bit. We need to change the way they're thinking about simple things. When we do that, that'll be it. You go, yep. Yeah, that'll be it for now. So, you know, the complexity of a human being, when people understand it, how it works, then you can you know, fix it if they want to fix it. You tell them what to do. You can get prescribed a certain thing for them to do or eat or stop eating a certain thing or start thinking a certain thing. Meditate, you know, find ways to be in peace. Sometimes people just need a little peace. They can't sleep because they don't know how to let their mind rest. So God's showing you how to help people rest their minds. Sometimes foods can do that. You know, certain things I eat that make me sleepy. You know, I'll eat them and they go, Yeah, so I don't know what I'm God's showing you the inner parts of man, how it works, and how to give them what they need, and how to tell him, you know, okay, it's like he had a legal problem. Wouldn't it be nice if you could call a number and say, okay, I got this, this, and this going on. They go, yeah, okay, what else? Oh, now I should come up with a question. What about this? No, I don't got anything. Okay, here's what you did. And they'll tell you, according to law, you know, what you can do and what you can't do. And you did it. So wouldn't it be cool if that could happen with, you know, doctors and spiritual people who call in and you just, you know, they say what's going on. You ask some questions and then you tell them the answer and they go, you know, hey, thank you. And they go do it and it changed their life. Yeah, Bianca, $40. Thank you, Lord, for Bianca. Thank God for Bianca, the saving power. Show her all the different areas of the saving power of Jesus. The Savior has come to save us in every area. It's not just spiritual. It's not just forgiveness of our sin, but he comes to save us. He came to give us a new life. He's come to give us a new way to, you know, if we have family issues, how to, you know, change those family issues. He's saving us. He's come to save you. He saves us. The Savior saves us, you know, from a lot of trouble. He saves us from, you know, being in debt all of our life, being poor all of our life. He starts showing us where it comes from, how it got there, and how to spiritually take care of it, physically take care of it, emotionally take care of it. Because sometimes things are not just physical, they're not just emotional, they're all three. So he does spirit, soul, and body. He saves you. He changes you. We receive with meekness the engrafted word for the saving of your soul. When the soul is saved, it's talking about being born again. It's talking about a whole different thing. It's talking about, you know, your brain gets saved from being, you know, angry at yourself all the time. You get saved from that. Why? Because God showed you what's going on. You know, you get saved from, you know, depression because God shows you what, you know, partially what your problem is, you know, what you think, the way you deal with people, the way you hate yourself, and show people how, you know, change. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for Bianca, God, that all the different Savior parts of the Savior, that he's come to save us in every area, financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, you know, have it. You know, he's always about saving. The woman who got caught in the act of adultery, he was going to save her, man. He stood between her and the rocks. And how did he save her? Number one, he knew that she'd sin. He knew those guys were not lying. And according to the law, she deserved to die. But he turned around and he saved her and saved them. He said, which one of you have done sin? What was that? He was saving her. He stood between the rocks and her. And then he spoke words. So God's showing you how to deal with things when people, you know, are trying to knock people down because they're messed up. They messed up something. Oh, yeah. Instead of looking at it as how can we save them? How can that be saved? Jesus said, you know, woman, I didn't come to stone you. Yeah, I said, go. He said, you're forgiven, but go and sin no more. Right? He gave her a Savior information. Yeah, you're forgiven, but go and sin no more. That was part of the Savior information to save her, you know, from falling back into that stuff again and going back. And she did that. She, you know, she listened and obeyed. And then all the good things that Jesus did as Savior, he was always saving people. You know, he saved them. He taught them the Bible. He taught them out of the word, he taught them parables. He was always explaining God to them and how God was and how God is. And then he went around doing it. What was all that about? He was saving. He was showing people that God had come to save them, not to condemn them, not to find fault with them. Right? So we need to follow what Jesus did and
you know, bring the saving part of Jesus to people. When they get busted in sin, we're there to say, hey, get on the rocks with them and say, hey, you sinned. Okay, we're not hiding your sin. You did mess up, but you know what? There's a reason for that. We're gonna help you with that. We're gonna save you through the saving power of Jesus. Information like Jesus gave. Which one of you had no sin? Stop the condemnation of everybody like a bunch of dogs, you know, trying to attack somebody. Get the dog to shut up and move on. Save their life. You know? Yeah. The saving power of Jesus, saving information, saving. Save ourselves. But don't cry for me, you know, cry for yourself. I'm saved. I mean, I know where I'm going. But, you know, yeah. Saving is everything. All right, Haley, $50. Thank you, Lord. So, Haley, thank you, Jesus, for that divine appointments, God, that she will recognize him. Sometimes divine appointments can be something bad going on. Judas was a divine appointment. Because God, in the Old Testament, prophesied that somebody's going to betray him. And then betrayal, we have to know what that betrayal is about, why it was necessary. If Jesus would have committed suicide, you know, they would have never found him, right? Judas was the one who told him where he was at. And then for Judas, they wouldn't have been able to go get the lamb, and we wouldn't have a savior. So it's like, you know, relationships, all different things. For instance, God's showing you, you know, where they fit in your life, where they don't fit, and be able to recognize, you know, the purpose of people, you know, that come to you and figure out where they fit, what's going on. Because we try to fit people and things, and we try to fit things into our life that don't fit, like a piece of puzzle. Try to cram a piece of puzzle together, make it ruins the whole picture, because that just doesn't belong there. Things have to fit together, and God's showing you how to let things, you know, we have to shove a piece of puzzle into something. It fits. It's made to fit. God's showing you how to let things fit into your life. I mean, to be able to recognize what God has brought to you that fits you. It doesn't look like you. The shape it is completely different, but it fits you. You be able to see that and recognize that and know that and go, okay, you know, it's a learning process. Sometimes a piece of puzzle will look like, there it is right there. Oh, my gosh, I found it. You put it in it and start getting it right where you're putting it together, and it doesn't quite. You got to cram it, you know, oh, man, I thought that was it. It really looks like it, but it has that little bitty thing in it that keeps it from going in there. That little bitty thing. Some of those little bitty things can be, you know, important things that keep things from fitting together. So God's showing you how to, you know, fit things together with people, stuff you need, you know, activities in your life to enjoy yourself, things that fit you, things that, and like with me, I have certain things. I love to watch documentaries. I love to learn, and my mind relaxes, believe it or not. And I go to a whole different place. I lose myself in that. It's one of the things I like. So I enjoy it, and I find things that I enjoy that fit me. And then I learn from it. I grow from it. Sometimes God gives me revelation out of it. I can watch the Elvis Presley movie, the last one. You know, I watched it 2 or 3 times because it spoke more about the merchandising realm, the kernel merchandising, the gift of God, Elvis Presley. He got his anointing, you know, he's got his sacral and roll from going to a revival. And then, you know, then they tried to start selling it, and therefore it turned him into something else. You know what I mean? When I watched it, I go, my God, yeah, I would have never learned what I learned had I not seen that documentary, that movie about Elvis Presley. It was amazing. You know, so all the things that fit me, that work with me, the way I can learn, you know, things that, you know, make me burn. Yeah, they don't fit in my life. Things that make my heart, you know, your heart can have good in the wrong kind of way. So we have to find out what kind of good, like some people can make us feel really good, but then we end up being intimidated by them because we don't feel like, if they don't fit, when they fit, you're not intimidated by them. You can confront them and talk to them, and they can confront and talk to you, and you can confront each other as you fit together. You know, and people don't fit in our lives because we let them rule us. If we're afraid, we're so in love and passionate with them that if we, you know, don't do everything just right, you know, so we can't be ourselves.
know, if they don't fit in our lives, to be able to, you know, talk straight with somebody and talk straight with you in the right way. All right, Nick and Charles, got three different offerings here, $25 and $65 for Destiny, and then $5 for Jesse the Neighbor, gave $5. They were going to play over those. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki, $25, that they get that VA decision 100% rewarded. Yeah, man. Amen. That 100-fold thing. Oh, my gosh. Jesus. Thank you. God, you're bringing them into your provision, God. Like an onion being peeled. It's like little by little, you know, going to the core of, you know, the connecting to that provision of the Father. And then he's going to feed you in ways, he's going to bless you in ways that you would have never thought he was going to bless you. And not bless you in ways some things you think he would, you know, because he's going to show you his provision in all different ways. And the whole thing is that he's showing you his provision, not just provision in general, provision. Because when you get his provision feeds the will of God in your life. We get provisions and things that are just that tend to distract us and get us to thinking about other things around it. But the provision that God brings is connected to our destiny and purpose, and gets us, you know, activated in our ministry, gets us thinking about, you know, God stuff. Like rewards. Rewards are not just things we get that we take them and bury in our backyard. And, I don't do everything for the reward. But when you understand what reward is about, reward is about blessing you with more so you can do more of the will of God. It's not to enrich yourself for your selfish reasons. That's what people look at rewards like. Oh, I don't do it for that. Yeah, when you understand rewards before, you do it for the reward, because the reward, you know, is to activate and bless you and reward you so that you can do more of God's will. Who doesn't want to do that? Right? When a lot of people get the rewards of God, they don't realize that it's for to do more of the will of God, and they just take it for themselves. It becomes a selfish thing. But they start out like that. Thank you, Lord, for that reward system, God, showing them how that your provision, the way you want to do it, it gets their prayer life activated, praying certain ways, learning how to pray, learning how to bind, learning how to loosen. And learn how to just believe and trust you, where sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes I don't pray at all. The Lord just says, be quiet, be still. You know, don't get those anxiety prayers going because you mess it up. Channel and going like, okay, Lord, bye, sorry. I spoke in my church, you know, years ago to the pastor's wife in front of everybody. You know, looked at her and said, I mean, I can't believe it's going on publicly. I can't believe I was saying it because I, you know, Miss Jean, I love Miss Jean. And the Lord said, you know, stop praying about that. I said, stop praying, like, you know, we're not supposed to pray. No, I said, stop praying about that. And my pastor turned right around, looked at her and said, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that. And I didn't have a clue what they were talking about, right? I didn't have a clue. And the Lord says, because your prayers, you know, sometimes you pray and then you do it in God's hands, because you keep on praying, you're not supposed to be praying. You hinder it with your prayers. You hinder your blessings with your anxiety prayers. Right? That's why we entered the Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving kind of like isn't, well, not, okay, God, you do it yet? Is it done yet? Is it happening now? Going there? Going there? Yeah. You know, there's a time to attack something, to work on it, and there's a time to praise Him. That way the interference is gone. And the thing can just happen. It can happen. It can come together and work together. It can look for that 100% rewarded from the VA. Amen. In Jesus' name. Blessing, good God. And Destiny, $65. She says, Nikki says, this is Destiny's tithe. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Destiny. Thank you for that $65. Thank you, Lord, Father, for all the parasites, all the things that try to suck the life out of her. You're going to show her those things that suck the life out of her. Sometimes God tells us to help people and do things. And sometimes those things are of God, and sometimes the devil uses it to get you to spread yourself too thin and just suck the life out of you and keep you down and out. But God's showing you how to be kind, be gentle, be careful, and be on guard in a sense. Who is on guard, but on guard a little bit, so that you don't get things that God has given for you to have and you give them to others. Because if God gives something for you,
That means it's supposed to nurture you, make you healthy, make you sat, feel satisfied, take care of your business. And somebody comes along and says, "Oh man, I need to." And you think, "Well, I better do it because you know Jesus said, you know, help everybody." That's not what he said. You know, he said, "Be led by the Spirit," and you know, bless you. I say to bless and don't let people suck the life out of you. Right? Because those things that they suck out of you are for you to make you move forward. The reward God gives you so that you can make His stuff bigger in your life. If you take them and do something else with them, out of a heart to want to be, you know, helping people, you know, then if it's not done properly, then it creates a problem. So you don't move forward with God in prosperity. It's prosperity meaning God's will being done without effort. If God rewards you something, then you take it and do something else with it. Help other people do something that like a parasite, that sucks the life out of you. Then you end up not moving to the next stage. That's what that blessing is for, is to move to the next stage. So instead of blessing 5 people, you can bless 500 people eventually. You got to obey God and let His rewards and His blessings be used by His guidance. When He rewards you for that, He rewards you to increase and multiply you so you can do more of the will of God. Amen. And so we thank for Jesse, Nikki and Phil's neighbor, $5. Thank you, Lord, for that. God, we thank you, Lord, for that you showed Jesse how to not compromise, just trying to be nice, but sometimes being upfront and being straightforward in a loving way, in a caring way, is much better than just, you know, well, yeah, you just do whatever you want, you know, whatever the way, you know, and speaking the truth to people, giving them things that you know, because every time you don't give somebody something, tell somebody something that they need to know and you know better, you feel guilty about it, you feel bad. So every time you obey God and you help them and you, you know, give them the right information, you walk away feeling like, you know, hey, man, look at, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And the more blessed you feel, the more blessed you get. Sometimes God wants us to, you know, in our obedience to God, we're here to not straighten everybody out, but, you know, we're here to help people. You know, we're here to help them, give them information that they need. Say, man, you know, that's gonna kill you. We don't want you to die early. So we want to help you, you know, tell them, you know, that's not good for you. I have friends who died from that. Oh, really? Died from that? Yeah. We give them information that will wake people up. Don't make them aware of things that are destroying them. It's going to make you feel like you're accomplishing something because you're, you know, giving something that, like a father, blessing their child when their child gets mad at them. They don't even know that they're blessing their child. Their child doesn't know that they're doing the right thing for them. He's going to realize it and love their father for it. You know, so we have to do that with people. We have to be kind of like a father to them and just understand that sometimes they're going to get mad at us and we just keep loving them and being their friends. Yeah, and the seed time and harvest with Jesse, God, you show him how to seeds, good seeds, God seeds. Every time we do a God seed and then we plant a bad seed, you know, it contradicts it. It causes it trouble. So we have to learn how to just plant God seeds. Like we plant 10 God seeds and one un-God seed, you know, it's still not good, but at least, you know, the 10 can overwhelm the one, right? Instead of doing one bad seed, one good seed, one bad seed, one bad seed, one good seed, one bad seed, one bad seed, one bad seed, one good seed. You know, and so we overwhelm ourselves with, well, I've been doing some good stuff. Yeah, but you're planting those other seeds. And God's showing you how to plant good seeds all the time. Amen. And to bring blessings to you and break the curse of Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what God's bringing you. You're not going to want anything of the world. You're not going to want anything that messes with you. You're not going to want to say anything that messes with people. You're going to want to say, you know, do the right thing, say the right thing so God can bless you. Give you joy, make you happy with yourself. Yeah, Jesus' name, make you really happy with yourself. All right, Jeannie, $80. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for the new beginnings, God. Thank you, Lord, for new understanding, for new wisdom, for new insight, for getting, you know, a good look at things from God's perspective and seeing how that people's opinions about things, then we end up looking, if we look at it the way they look at it, then we end up limiting ourselves to what God can be doing or something. You know, and so Jesus was walking in the unlimited realm because he always, you know, he always saw things the way the Father saw it. He looked at everything in a redemptive quality. He looked at everything like, even with Judas, you know, he still called him friend. Why? Because he knew that he was going to bring the priest to him and he's going to be getting his job done because of Judas. And he even saw Judas as, you know, friend, you're my friend. It was the whole world saw him as a betrayer, and he wasn't a betrayer. But so when we see things the way we see things, and for God giving a new perspective on the difference between human opinions and the limitations of human, you know, saying, yeah, that happened because of this, and this happened because of that. And we go for it instead of going, okay, God, wait a minute, is that right? What do you say about that? What do you think about that? You know, Joseph told his brother, said, well, now I see it. Like, even though you meant what you did, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good. So thank you. Because God used you guys to get me here. And now because I'm here, I'm going to not only I get saved and fulfill my dream, but I'm going to save you. Yeah, it's amazing. Because he began to see things completely different. Not through the eyes of men, like his brothers were looking at things through the eyes of men when they threw that was Joseph, and they saw, oh my God, it's Joseph. You know, man, we deserve to die. They had a guilty conscience. But he looked at it completely different. He looked at it like, man, you know, for years I was hurting over that. But you know what? I finally realized what you guys did, you know, I see now, I look back at it. If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And he thanked them, and he fed them dinner, took care of them, and blessed them. Right? Even though what they did was really bad wrong, it was bad wrong, and God, you know, took it and made it good. So the way he saw it. And then when we start seeing things, we see redemption in everything and anything. Anything can be redeemed. Anything can be changed. Anything can turn around. We just need to find, ask God to show us how to, you know, get it started, you know, or finish it to Jesus. Amen. For the Savior complex, God, the Savior complex, you know, with things through, you know, God saving things, you know, the Savior changes things. You know, he takes people that are bad and makes them into good. We don't do away with the bad people and, you know, keep the good. He said, man, I came to The sick need a physician. Those who are not sick, they don't need a physician. I came for the sick. And so we start realizing that, you know, people are sick. They need a physician. And we try to get them back somehow or another. Even maybe sometimes without them knowing it, we get it through our prayers, through all that thing. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for that Savior complex, God, of showing her the complexity of how God saves things, how he uses things, even that sometimes that look evil, that are evil, and he may even cause people to do an evil thing for a godly purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we see things through the Savior's eyes. Yeah. You didn't hide some things. You didn't just say, oh, no, that's not really there. You said, yeah, it's there. Don't sin no more. Right? It ignored the sin. He said, yeah, you sinned. You know what? But you're forgiven. And don't sin no more. And he gave them power. I tell them to go and sin no more. He gave them, he was releasing power for them to not sin in that area anymore. He was there to redeem them, not to stone them and, you know, find fault and get rid of them because they're bad. I came to change bad people. So help us know that in every area, God. Amen. Chris, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for that evangelism, prophetic evangelism part of him, God, that you know, wants to see God glorified, wants to, you know, watch God do mighty things. Jesus' name, and giving him a heart softening his heart. I see a lot of things that have been tough against you that have been wounding, that have wounded you and made you angry, made you frustrated. As you've given it to God, God is using it to soften your heart, you know, in some amazing way. You know, you need to be tough about some things, but we also need to be tough and tender. And so God's showing you how to be tough and how to be tender. Yeah, tough and tender. That's the perfect balance. You know, a lamb and a wolf. A lamb and a wolf. A lamb. Some people say lamb and lamb. It's really a lamb and a wolf. You think about a wolf. You think of a wolf as, you know, goes to the jugular. He goes, you know, so it's really the Bible's like the lamb and the wolf will lay together. And so that's the gentle, and yet the Benjaminites were wolves. I just read that when Jacob was crossing over and said, you're like wolves. You go after the prey, you go for the juggler, take care of business. So God is part of you that wants to go for the juggler and take care of business, and the other part of you wants to have compassion on the sinner. And that beautiful thing of God doing it in you, the compassion with that strength of going for the juggler, man. We'll go right for the juggler. That's almost seems vicious to go for the juggler like that. Wow, that is like when they're tearing something apart, they go for the juggler. It's like, my God, I hope they don't come after me. Right, exactly, because they're going for it, man. And they don't play around. And yet everything they did was for their babies, was for their children, was for their, you know, it was the vicious thing was, you know, of going and taking something down. That's what Jesus did with Satan. He went in like a lamb, but in a sense he was like the wolf taking down, going for the juggler. So that mix of course, with him, it's the lamb and the lion. But same type scenario, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for that part of Chris, God, in Jesus' name. Water that, nurture that. And the balance of that is where miracles happen. Jesus hated sin, but he loved the sinner. All right, Donald Tony, 147, thank you, Lord, for that love and hate thing in them, God. That finding out that hating things is not a bad thing. Because the Bible says that God hates evil with a perfect hatred. He hates evil, but he loves godliness. He loves good things. And it's like, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. So God's going to let you be able to, you know, like when you eat some food, you taste it, right? You know, Tanya didn't cook it right, or if you didn't cook it right, you're like, oh, man, you know, there's no, what happened to the, you know, some salt or something? What's wrong with it? You taste it, so you see if it's good or not. What do you do? You fix it. You change it. So God's given you this ability to discern or taste things, to be able to taste and see. Sometimes things look like they're not going to taste that good. You know, if you're eating something that kind of look kind of rough, you know, man, this looks rough. I don't know. You take a bite of it, you go, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Sometimes things, so tasting and seeing isn't an exterior judgment. It is an interior one. It's to be able to, you know, taste of it, like little babies, you know, spend most of the first 3 years of their life tasting stuff, taste of everything. It's bitter, you just like shake, and it tastes sweet, you can see looking at it. Give me some more of that, man. They taste and see, man. When they know it's something bad, they spit it out, they know something good, they eat it, and they want more of it. So God's showing you guys, in the balance of you guys, sometimes Donald will love things that Tommy will hate, and sometimes Donald will hate things that Tommy will love. And you guys learn how to, you know, together to, you know, walk in that and live in that. And, you know, because we do. God does hate evil. He hates it. God's giving you the understanding of how to, you know, what we love and what we hate. And why that keeps us from being lukewarm. Right? We're not lukewarm when we, you know, hate evil. Because when you hate evil, the anointing through you comes through with this power that just destroys the yoke, right? And then comes the love of God. And, you know, at the same time, love and hate work at the same time. And bring healing, bring miracle, make an opening, you know. And God giving you the ability to taste and see, you know, where somebody's at, what's going on with them, what they need. and they look a little rough, but you take a taste of it, right? You get a taste of them, you go like you discern whatever. When you discern something, you discern you're protecting of the inside, not the exterior. The exterior may look rough, but on the inside it may be really good. And something that you taste of, God wants you to be a part of. If you like it. And things you don't taste good for you, that means you're not supposed to, you know, be a part of it. Something about it just tastes wrong, you know. And so it makes you want to hate it or reject it. Rejection is a beautiful thing. When it's rejecting, we don't reject people, but we reject what people do. We hate what people do. We hate what that company represents. We hate what, but, you know, you love the person, but you can hate the thing. And the hating the thing can keep you away from, you know, I don't want to be a part of the thing, but that thing, you know, doesn't taste good. But God, show me how to, like some scriptures, some doctrine, something like it looks a little tough, a little rough, but when you taste it, it's like he said, you know, to John the Revelator, he said, he put that skull in your mouth, it's going to be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your stomach. You know, that's the way God does stuff. It's sweet in our mouth sometimes, and bitter, it'll work inside of it. It awakened things. It made him aware of things. Sometimes when you taste of people's lives, like getting a word of knowledge, you become aware of things with them. You know, sometimes it's to help them, sometimes it's to be aware of it. And sometimes God, you know, Jesus would see something wrong somebody, he'd move in to help them. Other times he would say, you know, like to the Pharisees, he'd say, these, do not be like these guys. Seeing right out, he said, hate this, the sin that spoils the garment. Hate it. Despise it, because that's what will keep you from, you know, compromising with it or, you know, letting it affect you. When you hate it, that means you totally, totally resist it. Yeah. Yeah, and give them that discernment and then advise up God. And they can make quick decisions. Because once you taste something like JJ, I'm going to eat that. Okay. So you'll know whether you're going to eat it or take it or not. Yeah. Does it fish me? My taste buds like it. Who I am as a person in God, I like that. Therefore, there must be something there that I can be a part of or need or want. Thank you, Jesus. And then in broaden their vision, God, on the next level of financial blessing. Broaden their vision on how to see things that they've been doing, the blessing, to expand, increase, and multiply. Let them have that resting period, that time of rest, peace, of knowing that you're provided for them supernaturally. And even as they work, it's all, like, when God makes us wealthy, it brings no sorrow. It tastes good, it feels good, it fits good, it works good. And open them up to that next level of financial increase, multiplication. God, right now, in Jesus' name, we can draw it in. Draw it in. Deborah Mark, 148. Deborah, got your check last week, and I didn't get it on. I don't know how I did that, but anyway, you got a couple of minutes tonight. Thank you for that. I got a $74 one today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Deborah and Mark, God, thank you both for the preciousness of Jesus in them. God, that when they're working hard, doing things, that what keeps them in balance with everything that's going on is the preciousness of Jesus. How precious Jesus is. Oh, man. You know, Jesus said when he said, in communion said, you know, when you eat this, remember me. Remember what I did. Remember how precious I am. Remember how important, remember how powerful that I am. Remember how precious I am. And, you know, remember my name. And like I see you guys speaking the name of Jesus into situations, over situations, you know, in your business, your life, and watching God increase and multiply you. By using the name of Jesus, because everything that Jesus wants you to be involved in, when you speak his name over things, then the prayer of Jesus in Jesus' name, activating his name, is what gets blessed, and you guys become the overseers of it, because and you pray over it in Jesus' name, and Jesus is involved in it, and Jesus has it for you, then Jesus' name takes captivity captive, takes what belongs to him, and, you know, it's the one thing God's called you guys to do is to take captivity, take things that belong to God and give them back to him. And he has you, like Joseph, who rule over them. You get power over everything, but that's a throne. You can run everything, a throne. The only thing, a throne, Jesus sits on the throne. He said, but you guys can make choices to do anything because I trust you. Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, just like Joseph. Go. I trust you completely. I'm not even going to watch you, not even see you. I'm not even worried about it because I know you. And I thank the Lord for blessing them with that wisdom. God, in your name, in your precious name, Jesus, that they're going to be able to identify where your name is written on things, engraved on things. And when they come and they pray over that, they're coming and what they're doing is they're claiming what Jesus has already claimed. And all they do is go in and take possession of it. Amen. And then Jesus says, you know, I'm going to bless you. You'll watch over it. It's all yours. Don't forget that I'm on the one on the throne. And but everything else, you know, from there, from the throne on down, from, you know, you, everything but the throne, that's all yours. It's going to tell Joseph, you're going to run the whole thing. So it's about running the thing. You know, using wisdom and godly principles. And, you know, doing things right. And then it's like training for ruling over cities, you know, ruling over different arenas, different areas of life, like financial institutions and, you know, things that have to do with finances. God giving you authority over financial institutions to, you know, get what God wants out of it. Take back what belongs to him. And then you get to be the ones using it to, you know, take the 5 talents and make 5 more. It's a fun challenge. It's like the creative power of God working through you and in you to make more. You know, to double it. Amazing. All right. Terrence and Tanisha, $260. Thank you for that. Terrence and Tanisha, thank you both for that, you know, the connection to that prophetic place, God, of, you know, learning how to develop and let, you know, what things are 100% God, what things are mixed, what things do I need to re-pray about, rethink about. And so I do that all the time. God will show me something, and I'll say, well, what about this? What about that? And I start adding things to it. And he doesn't mind that. But he loves me to ask questions. He loves questions. He loves, like, why are you doing that? I don't understand why you're doing that. That's what I do. The communion thing. When I wasn't doing it all the time, when I come to death, I said, why do you want me to do it? Give me a reason. I need a reason. And so asking questions is what he wants. And he said, is that 100% you, 50% you, or what part of you? What brings back to the origin of information so that, because the more we go back to the origin of the information, how God spoke it or how God said it, you know, like in the scripture, we start finding out what God really said instead of what we think he said. And that brings us back into the origin of everything. We start hearing from God information that is, you know, pure. And, you know, he's able to speak to us because we are, you know, we want to have the first word, the perfect word, the word that, you know, comes from him. And, learning how to work in that and develop that, learning how to feel it and know, you know, okay, there's something wrong with this. What is it? And he says, yeah, no big deal. Here, take away this, you know, take away that, and here's the raw version. And so, so as long as we keep doing that, and we're always doing that, we're going to find the raw version of Scripture, what the pure origin of it is, and then when we do that, then we're going to start tapping into the origin of everything that God wants us to know. So if we don't go from, you know, 3 levels out, we start at the level where, you know, the creative realm, the first word. Well, we get the first word, and then we pass the first word around, and that word goes around, and we get rewarded for that. Yeah, and the whole reward system, as I said before, is that the reward system, when we get rewarded, the reason we need to look for that and hope for it and believe God for it is because that's what takes you to the next level. Reward is you obey, and now I'm going to reward you. That reward money, that reward blessing, favor isn't to stick it in our back pocket and, you know, think that this is all for me. The truth is, it's all for you, but it's all for God's next level. And when you identify, you know, God's kingdom with, like, God has given it to you to do what he says with it, but it's yours. You know, like, he gave him 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. You know, he gave it to him. But take it, see what you do with it. Well, they did. They multiplied it. And then he says, you're going to have bigger things. Cities. Yeah. So it's all training. Everything's training. He didn't mind us making mistakes. You don't look at all the people that made mistakes in the Bible. You know, and even when they got older, more perfected, they still made mistakes. But we've got to get past this thing of, okay, I made a mistake, so what? You know, it's like, God, it's like, you know, Jesus, look at the mistake, big mistake Peter made, denying Jesus. Yeah, that didn't mess with him. You're like, okay, well, whatever, you got to feed my sheep now, right? But you learn from something. You learn from that. Yeah. And we look at things that he blew wrong as, you know, like Peter did, you're going to learn from him. You're going to make him more of a shepherd. So messing things up and missing things and doing things wrong, God doesn't even like, because we have a heart to do it right, right? So he's thinking, you got a heart to do it right. You're going to get it. You keep going. It's going to be perfected. You're going to learn obedience as they suffer, like Jesus did in Hebrews 5. Learned obedience to the things he suffered. Right? The thing is that Jesus was, his father was well pleased because he was always learning from everything. When he did something perfect, you know, he learned from it. That's why God says, I love you, man. You're well pleasing to me. Well pleasing to the draw, you to be well pleasing to God, man. That's a, we want favor with anybody. We want favor with the well-pleasing part of God. That's what I want. I mean, you know, people are nice. I love people. I love hearing people talk about God. Man, there ain't nothing like having favor with God. You got that favor, you got it at the top of the line favor, man. I mean, you got the head man, the head dude. And you got that. Whatever you ask for, he gives it. You know why? Because he trusts you. Your motivation is out of pleasing him. And he goes, man, well done. Well done. Well done, he meant with what? His heart. You know? He's here to please you. You guys have a great need to please. And God loves that. Jesus said the same thing. He had a great need to please. God, can you take this cup away from me, please? And probably was going, okay. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know what? You know, he did it. It wasn't because of some spiritual revelation, because he wanted to please the Father. He had more desire to please the Father. You know, only by faith can he please it. So he had more desire to please the Father than anybody else, and that's what made him so powerful. He had father pleasing desires that overwhelmed him. Right? He said, I can't do nothing except what I see my father did. I guess he wanted to please the Father. It wasn't about how spiritual he was, it's about a pleasing thing. He wanted to
please the Father. So that's what his motivation was about everything. That's why God says, well done, my servant. I'm well pleased with you. Well done.
Yep. All right. Carmen, 331.36.
Thank you, God, for doing the completing the thing that brings her to a position where she's able to move around, do whatever she wants, however she wants to do it. And, you know, where we work in the labor field of God, and, you know, he opens up. We choose him, and so he rewards us. Rewards are not just to pad our pockets so we can have spending money. You know, it is to further the kingdom of God. That's what rewards are. That's what favor's for. Favor is, hey, man, I favor you. I'm gonna help you get my work done. That's what favor's about. In favor and like get whatever you want, however you want it. Because when you favor with God, you're favored with God for a reason. You're favored with God, it's like because he knows you're going to want to do his thing. That's why he favors you. That's what favor is all about. It's the people that want to do what he wants. Man, are you kidding me? Of course he's going to favor them. Think about it. You know, what my daddy wants, God wants. You don't have to hurt somebody's feelings. Jesus hurt people's feelings quite a bit. And, you know, Paul the Apostle did the same thing. Why? Because he knew that sometimes that's what it takes to get people who are all about for fruit. Fruit is what pleases God. Much fruit really pleases God. So when we talk about pleasing God, we're talking about bearing fruit, talking about being pruned, and God using us as a pruning tool sometimes to prune people, you know. And we do it out of fear and reverence for God and that it pleases him. Right. And then what happens? What's the great reward we get? Favor. To be witnesses. Just whatever they desired, whatever plague they decided, whatever they desired, they got it. Why? It wasn't because they were, you know, had so much favor they could do whatever they wanted. God says, okay, man, you got it. What do you want? It's because they always had God's intention and will in mind in everything they did. That's why everything they desired, because their desires were God's desires. And whatever they desired, God blessed them. God gave it to them. You know, amazing. That's the favor you want right there. Whatever you do, just whatever they did, whatever they wanted to do. You know, it happened. Scripture talks about whatsoever things you desire, or, you know, say, whatsoever things you desire. Yeah. Yeah, whatsoever things you desire, you know, are yours. Because the whole thing with Christianity and walking with God is, what are we heading toward? We're heading toward pleasing the Father. That's it. What pleases him? You know, why don't you have what your children are like? I never was like this, but my sister was a pretty of a obedient child for a while. And, man, my mom and dad would trust her, let her go out, stay out late, knowing that she wasn't going to be getting in trouble. Me? No, you're going to be home at 10:30 or 11. If y'all, they're never going to come looking for you. They knew that me, when you know, I'd be getting in trouble. But so it's the thing when trusting somebody, we know, you know, they're going to do right. So I'm not even going to have to, like Joseph, I'm not going to have to watch over you because I know you're going to do right. So thank you both for that with Carmen, God. You're developing that more and more in her heart all the time. It's about, you know, everything we do, everything we think, like Jesus said, whatever pleases my Father. So watering that, nurturing that, and showing her more how to water, plant, and then water. We plant one time, and we water the rest of the time. It's a tree, water it for years. Just to keep it, you know, bearing fruit, a flower, we water it during the season, and it dies, and plant another one next year. So it's a lot of this stuff. Water. So God had a water. Out of water. Many different ways to water. Yeah, befriending somebody can water them. Jesus will defend the sinners. He, you know, he's been able watering them. He's sucking them in. He's drawing them in. He's letting his nature, his God nature, draw them in. These are friends. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the fear and paranoia that's coming upon the earth. That God be showing Carmen how to keep people from going there, how to keep us from going there at any level at all, and live in total faith and total peace, and knowing that whatever's going on, even if they are conniving some bunch of nasty nonsense, we're dedicated to God. We're pleasing God. You know what he's going to do? He's watching over us big time. He's going to use every bit of it to bless us. When we need to know what we need to know about it, he'll tell us. Do we need to know? Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to fear anything. Just people get so focused on the wrong things, where the enemy's going to come from, that they spend no more time doing that. And like looking in the rearview mirror, they end up running into people, running out of the car, causing accidents because they're always looking in the rearview mirror. So we need to teach people how to, you know, yeah, do we have a rearview mirror for a reason? Absolutely. The government, the state, you know, the rearview mirror's got to be on there. They're important. But we got to, you know, not overdo it and spend too much time looking back and looking, you know, where's the enemy going to come from? We walk in safety, walk in protection. And we learn to obey the rules. When you learn to stop at a stop sign all the way, look both ways, that's not just because you're under the law. It's because they've made those areas out there. That's what makes it safe. But we're obeying the rules. When we obey the rules, you know, will help protect us. Not perfect, but it'll protect us. So thank the Lord as she walks in the Spirit, walks in, knows what why things work the way they work, and obeying those spiritual laws, how God made things, how they function, so that she can work them to the fullest, develop them. I can develop them in there. She'll understand why we're doing this. We're not just doing it just to be doing it. Just look spiritual. There's a divine purpose in why we're doing this thing. And sometimes we don't know what that is at first, but if we keep asking God, he's going to show us. Why am I doing this? Why do you want me to do this? Why am I part of this? Why am I part of that? What am I doing? Why am I not a part of that? What's going on? And God eventually shows us. First, you'll see if we'll be faithful and loyal to him in what he's telling us to do. When we are, you go, okay, I can trust you now. Boom. There you go. Start telling you all kinds of things. Revelation comes from the trust that God has to share information that we would do good with it. Talk about my mistakes from that. And then I thought God was never going to trust me again. And finally, I said, God, I'm really sorry that I messed that up. I got the right words, but I interpreted it, you know, the wrong way, like this, you know, years ago. I wondered if God was ever going to bless me back, because I felt the darkness of missing that and messing that up. And when I see that, I said I was sorry, it's like God was, okay, I know you're sincere. Boom, change, over. Back again. It was a big lesson. Every time I think about losing that again for any amount of time, it's scary. The fear of God comes on me. Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, I think that's about it. Let's see if we have anybody else. Anything else tonight? All right. We got Shannon. Shannon, $20. Okay, hang on a second. All right, I think I got it. Okay, Shannon, $20, and got a prayer request going here. Hang on a second. Let's check it out. Yep, right here. All right. Shannon. Yeah, prayer request tonight with my offering. God, connect me with my wife, so no matter where she is, Florida, California, Asia, or Colombia. Okay. Because I'm losing my faith and hope. Yeah, I understand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that, God. We thank you, Lord, for wherever she is, God, that somehow you will, connect and open and see and give Shannon that ability to discern, you know, and just step in and let that person just step right into his life, God, let them connect somehow in the name of Jesus. Let it be done, Father. All the battles, all the struggles we go through about relationships, they're so important because it's not something you go and you see, you know, once a week. It's somebody you live with, somebody you get married to, somebody you have your children with, somebody like, wow, it's an important thing. So we thank you, Lord, for showing them how important it is to you, Father, that you want us to have mates. You want us to have friends. It's more your desire than it is our own. You made us. You made us like that. Therefore, you want us to have it. So open him up to that, God, that it's more a desire that you have for him than it is for himself. Amen. And show him how to walk in that. Open it up to whoever it is, and he'll be, you know, say amen to it. Yeah, and let it be done. Let him be. Let him say yes and amen. Yeah. That he will not overlook or undercut or miss it. But Jesus, he will be patient. See, the Lord is good. And be able to taste things and, yeah, know it and feel it in his spirit. Know that God is good and that he wants that relationship. He wants a relationship with Shannon. More than Shannon wants it. But, yeah, so, yeah, have to come in agreement with God and out of agreement with everybody else. Amen. Angela Joy, $23. Thank you to Angela for that. We just bless you. Thank you, Lord, for the army of God, that you show her that the things that she does, some things she just does all by herself. You know, sometimes God says there's some things you stand alone on. Sometimes Jesus, you know, he was alone. Even though he's with people all the time, he stood alone in him, in his, you know, who he was, what was going on. And sometimes we, you know, we part of the army of God, we become, you have to learn how to stand alone and win battles between you and God. And then when you do that, then you can train people, you know, how to win battles, how to fight a good fight. Some people, they always depend on everybody else to fight their battles for them and help, you know, protect them and keep a large blessing. You know, that's good. That can be okay. But God also says, you know, sometimes, you know, Jesus went through the wilderness, was tempted to Satan. It wasn't him and somebody else. It was just him and, you know, the Father and the devil. That was it. He went, you know, alone. And he conquered alone. And therefore, because of that, he knew, of course, he already knew the strategies of hell. He knew when Satan was tempting, he knew that Satan was out to distract him from doing anything but the will of the Father. Anything. Here, bow down to me. I'll give this to you. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it any other way. You don't have to just, you don't have to suffer on the cross. You know, look at this, man. I'll just give this to you. Just, all you gotta do is bow down. You go, oh my God. He knew right away what that was. Get behind me, Satan. And he did all that fighting with him, you know, really by himself. And God wanted him by himself to see what he would do. You know, of course, depending on the anointing, but just him and the anointing, and that was it. There was nobody there guiding him, leading him. So when we're ready, God puts us in that alone time, that season, and we learn how to fight and win, and then we're able to go in and take the land and raise up other people on how to fight. We don't have to fight between just us and the devil and win. Then how can we train anybody else to do the same thing? Everybody, in a sense, in their own mind, their own heart, stands alone in that, even though they have people around them, they really were supposed to be loving God first. When you love God first, then you become, you know, distanted from people because you're not trying to love people, you're trying to love God. And when you love God, then God gives you love for people. All right? That's it. So it's like we our love goes only to God. We're alone in that. It's a loner thing. We're alone. God, I give my love to you. We feel alone. We feel, but, you know, because Jesus said he, you know, wasn't alone because his Father was with him, though he wasn't really connected on the same level with anybody. He was alone in that. Him and the Father. He knew the Father was with him. And so he, what he began to do was, you know, he learned how to fight and win. Because the battle was always between what I do, what I do that opens and shuts doors, not what somebody else does for me. eventually comes down to what I do. All of them, between me and God, what do I do? That's what opens the doors. That's what shuts the doors. That's what leads me and guides me. And then when I do that, then I'm able, as I'm letting God follow me as I follow the Lord. So I'm learning how to meet. I follow the Lord. I don't depend on other people following. I follow the Lord by myself. And as I do that, then like Paul the Apostle said, when I follow me as I follow the Lord. And that takes a total thing of learning how to do it between you and God. When that's done, then you learn how to, you know, love the brethren, have groups, have friends, but it's always, you know, boils down to one thing. What's God saying to me?
Yeah.
And what he says to me may cause other people to follow me as I follow him. It's that solemn, solo relationship with him. Everybody who has it and develops it will become powerful leaders, servants. All right, Cheryl, $50 from Florida. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus, for the compassion side of her God for herself. How is she having compassion more for herself all the time? The more compassion you have for yourself, you're loving yourself, basically, if God's love is have compassion on yourself. Then we find ourselves, you know, if we have compassion on ourselves, that's really where compassion starts, is for us. You know, because if we're built up with condemnation and mad at ourselves and anger at ourselves, why did I do that? Why did that? You know, it's one thing to know you did something, you know, mess up something. It's another thing to go to God and say, okay, God, forgive me. And then, you know, when the condemnation is washed away, the anger for ourselves is washed away. That's why condemnation is so powerful, because it causes you to be angry with ourselves. And when you're angry with yourself, you can't love yourself. Most people's problems basically boils down to one thing. They don't love themselves. They don't like themselves. You know, I know today I went to work and I said some things ugly. I had a bad day. Oh, my God. And they go home and they hate themselves. They don't recognize it as that, but that, you know, oh, well, the devil's this. No, because you're, so when you have compassion for yourself, it changes everything. You're able to have compassion on people. You're able to, you know, and so when you love yourself, you're able to love your neighbor or whoever is around you. Thank you, Lord, for that powerful anointing to receive affection from God for herself and love herself and judge herself. So when we judge ourselves correctly, then we judge others. So my Bible says, take the log out of your own eye. When we judge ourselves, then we can judge other people correctly. Yeah, truly amazing. And the anointing teaches us how to do that. It takes the anointing to teach us how to do it, because in religion and the flesh and the world, it's always, you know, trying to straighten everybody else out and everything, everybody else's fault. And we don't really realize that, you know, God's trying to get us cleaned up and loving ourselves and happy with ourselves so that we can, you know, relax and enjoy people, enjoy life. And, you know, when we let God love us, then we find other people start loving us too. Action of letting God love us, like Peter letting Jesus wash his feet. He wasn't going to do it at first. Showed you how Peter felt about himself. And he said, okay, Lord, yeah, clean me all over then. Yeah, there we go. So loving yourself, you know, is really allowing God to cleanse you and wash you and say, you know, if I don't cleanse you, you're not going to be clean. And when I clean you, you're going to know you're clean, and you're going to go and clean others. And help them. Compassion. Let her be moved with compassion, Jesus. Okay. One second.
Jeff and Nick said they tried to get into the show and could get in. It wasn't letting them in for some reason. I don't know. It's weird. All right. So thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for doing that and opening up God and letting her eat the apple of her own fruit. Eat the apple, the orange, you know, the fruit of your life. And we usually do that by enjoying the fruit of, you know, loving ourselves, enjoying ourselves, and being able to be alone and enjoy ourselves with God. And me, I talked about with somebody else about the solo, the being alone part. When we learn how to develop that, you know, I can be alone and just love it, you know, or I can be with others and love it. Either way, you know, I think most people are like, I think you're like that too. But being alone, you know, when I'm by myself, I've learned how to be content and learn how to entertain myself, enjoy myself, you know, talk to the Lord, not talk to the Lord, whatever, just do whatever I'm doing, get things done, get, you know, I can do with both. Either way, I can be alone or be with everybody. Makes it really cool. Without really showing you how to walk in that at a higher level. And really awesome. So, cool. All right, I guess that's it for tonight, y'all. As long as I can see, let me check one more time. Okay. All right, let's see here, Jeff and Uke. It's 55. Thank you both for them. Thank you, Jesus, for that divine intervention, Father, and, you know, and all the things that they're learning, God, it's like we go through a time of learning. Learning is sometimes we learn and we burn. And burning sometimes can be, you know, a thing of a teaching. Like when a kid, you know, is growing up, you know, sometimes he doesn't know what's going to hurt him or mess with him until he sticks his finger on the hot something. And he goes, oh, my God, he learns. He's like, oh, I personally learned. Don't touch that. You don't have to have mama tell you not to touch this. So some things we go in and we learn as a child, we learn what not to touch, what not to do, because it brings problems and issues. And then we go on, we start growing, we learn the things to do to produce blessing and to be, you know, be friends, how to make friends, how to be friendly, how to, you know, like someone earlier tonight, how to be by ourselves, how to be alone, yet how to be with each other. And then being able to be successful, do both, and learn how to be happy with ourselves. You know, when I'm by myself, I'm happy with myself, I'm fine. I'm not happy with myself, then I got looking for somebody I can talk to, get myself, you know, think about something other than myself. You know, in some places that's good, but you can't be by yourself and be, you know, happy with yourself. If you're not happy with yourself, it's hard to be with yourself. And when nobody's around, you know. So thank you both for that whole thing of developing all that. And sometimes we depend way too much on other people to nurture us and satisfy us, although it's in relationship that's what God made it. But also when you learn how to, you know, draw from God and draw from our own, you know, who we are as a person. And be content with ourselves and love ourselves. I can be alone, like I told Cheryl earlier, you can be alone or you can be with others. Either one. And so when you know how to be alone and be content with yourself, then you can be with others. And, you know, you don't have to, they don't have to perform all the time around you because you know you're happy with yourself. They don't need you. They don't need you. Don't need them. They don't need you to make them happy. They're happy. You know, they're already happy. Therefore, they don't need you to perform and always. Drawing, you know, oh, I need you to make me happy. I need you to make me, you know, it's because we're not happy with ourselves. And so when you're happy with yourself, then when you get around others, they don't feel like you're sucking the life out of them all the time because, you know, you're content and you're happy and you can be content with them or not be content with them. Either way, yeah. So anyway, this whole thing about relationships and about ourselves, that seems to be really hitting me home tonight, but I seem to want to prophesy that over people to make them aware of that when you're not happy with yourself, then you always need somebody to, you know, try to make you happy, right? When you're happy with yourself, then it's easy for people to make you happy because you're already happy with yourself. Oh, I'm not happy with you. Usually it's because they're not happy with themselves most of the time. Because even when people mess up around you, if you're happy with yourself, it doesn't mess with you as much. You're not needing them to suck up or please or do everything right, you know. And if there are times that's important, we can feed each other. But I don't have to, you know, the people are not my source. I learned how, like David says, he learned how to go between him and God and get his stuff from God. And then we come together with others because he's happy and content and he's not needing somebody to perform for him. He creates an atmosphere of, hey, man, just relax and be yourself. And then that's what creates beautiful relationships where everybody says, you know, I don't have to perform for you. I don't have to, you know, do something. I just be myself. You love you. I love me. Everybody loves everybody. We can all grow together or we can grow together by ourselves. Yeah. So something about that tonight. I keep getting information about that. Yeah, hang on a second. I'll be right back. On to that, you know, I don't know anybody who loves themselves completely. Nobody does. And God starts showing me that about myself and about others. So it's not about, some people love themselves, some people don't. It's the measure of the love you have for yourself. Hang on a second. So we're talking about that a lot right now. For some reason, there's a revelation about that, but I think a lot of people, loving themselves, letting God love them. Some areas, I know people, we've talked about this over the years, but, you know, some women are great wives, but horrible mothers. At least they think so. Some women are great mothers, but horrible. They're great at being a mother, but they're not a great wife. I mean, I've heard people talk about this. Yeah, she's a great mother, but being wife, people literally tell me this. And so some areas where we know we're good at and we're doing great in, other areas we don't. So there's that we're not happy with ourselves, and we need to not be happy with ourselves in a sense, because we learn to love yourself, forgive yourself. And, of course, you know, then you learn to forgive yourself if you don't think you need to forgive yourself, and you need to forgive yourself, then you're not going to get into that place of peace. You're going to continue just to hate yourself in that area. You may love yourself in 10 areas and hate yourself, and not be happy with yourself in 2 or 3 areas, but God wants us to be made whole. So I don't know anybody who lives a perfect life, who loves themselves completely. There's always areas we come short in that once we learn to love ourselves in those areas, then we'll function and we create an atmosphere of blessings and success. So thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you teach them how to in business and relationships, how to when they project to others, I need you to make me happy. Or I need you to, make me blessed and make me, we're doing business deals, and so God is, once we deal with this thing of being content with or without money, even though God has created us to make money, we're created to, build wealth,
one of the greatest ways to build wealth is to never become greedy. And being greedy is something that all of us can fall in a trap to. Israel did it many times. And so how we do that, but we, our relationship with ourselves, we become content that money's not going to make me happy. I don't need something to make me happy. So when we get there, it's not money that makes us happy, but God makes us happy. Then all of a sudden, the money just starts flowing in. Seek first again God, his righteousness, and all that money just comes flowing in. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And part of that is, we don't need money to make us happy, though money is fun. Money is exciting. Are you kidding me? Money is a blast. I like money a lot. I love watching what it does. I love watching what it, but I don't, because I love myself, I love money less and less, or I love, but enjoying watching it bless people, that makes you walk in a place of more coming to you, because you enjoy what it does for people, what it does in God, supplying for God's kingdom and getting God's kingdom work done. It takes money to do that. It always did. Jesus had lots of money coming in. He had a lot of things he took care of, including, the poor and the needy, ministry needed money and all. So, and he was so blessed that even the guy that kept his treasury was stealing from him, but he didn't care, because he didn't need money to make him happy. He didn't need money to make his ministry work. He just kept his eyes on the Father and doing God's work. And then the money just came in, because the results that he got from staying focused on the Father instead of worrying about the money, didn't need money to make him happy. Therefore, the money came in. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first being happy with God, and then the money just comes in. Because we don't need to make us happy. We don't need to make us feel satisfied and fulfilled. We become very much called to create wealth, but it's created because it's able to come to us. God's not going to get jealous over when it comes. We're going to start letting that make us happy. When we got money coming in, we're really happy. We don't have money coming in, we're like miserable. And we all know, we all deal with that to a certain degree. So God starts saying, when you're happy with yourself and you love yourself, then you don't need things to make you happy. Therefore, those things don't make God jealous, because you're not trying to make those things make you happy or satisfy you, but God satisfies you, make you happy. And then all the money starts coming in. Jesus had buku bunch of money. You know what? I don't think he concerned himself about money at all. He just knew the Father was going to provide it. And even though he had a thief for a treasure, God taking care of his money, it's like, it didn't matter, man. He didn't even worry. He didn't blink an eye about it. Nobody ever even knew. And because, he didn't need that to, make him happy. So this whole thing about being happy, I can think I can say this to all of us tonight. What God is doing, he's opened up the door to teach us that, we say, oh, I don't need things to make me happy. God makes me happy. Yeah. Oh, really? I don't know that we all do. I don't know that I do that all the way. But I have learned to, I've become happy with myself in the last few years, to the point where I'm, driving down the road telling God, man, I love the new me. I love the new me. What happened? Learning to love my, taking communion. Learning to do away with that condemnation, which caused me to hate myself, not hate, but, I wasn't able to love myself completely, because I always find fault with myself, thinking that it was the Holy Spirit. I'm so spiritual, man. Yeah, I don't sit there and tell I'm doing everything right. I know I'm finding fault with myself. I'm spiritual. Yeah. I'm judging myself all the time. I'm finding fault with myself. And in God, you can do that the right way, but I was doing it by condemnation. Therefore, I was never happy with myself. Never be able to be content with myself, because always like, I could do it better, could do it better, which drove me to, the wrong direction. But when God started saying, hey, man, I'm well pleased with you. What do you mean? What have I done? He said, I love you. You're my born-again child. I you get my blood. You're my seed. You're my son. Thinking completely differently. My God. And little by little, I became happier and happier with myself when that condemnation began to be broken off of me. And then, the ministry, took a whole nother, went a whole nother place, everything. Why? Because I was content. I was happy. When I work hard, man. I'm a workaholic. I've been working in the studio, getting the studio stuff going on, and had some software people supposed to come in today and do some things, and they didn't make it, It's real late. It's like right before the show. I was like, I can't talk to you now. I got to Yeah, you guys are late, you know. Cancel you. They're going to do it tomorrow. So, you know, but, you know, being happy with myself, you know, doesn't mean I don't work hard and, you know, try to accomplish things. I do. But because that's not what makes me happy, but I'm happy with myself, then you know what? Things happen. Things work. God brings stuff in. You know, God is good. And, you know, my resistance that I'm always tearing, would tear things up, you know, saying I would never say I was tearing them up, but I'm going, man, I'm just trying to fix things, heal things, do things right. But in my own life and ministry, you know, in business stuff, you know, in the business part, I'm always like going, having to struggle and fight for things. And so the more I learned to love myself, the more I didn't struggle and fight for things. And then they just started coming in. Things just started happening. And it's not always easy, you know, but, you know, liking myself, loving myself calls me to let go of trying to make things happen and love myself and focus on God, doing God's work and doing the best I can, you know, keeping myself happy and keeping myself, loving myself, man. It's like, wow, things just started happening. You know why? Because that self-hatred, that self, you know, blaming ourselves for things, it is, puts out an energy that interferes with God's blessings coming to us. But we say we want to be blessed, and we really do, but there's a part of us that hates ourselves going, I really don't deserve to be blessed, you know, because I'm this and I'm doing that, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing anything. So that resistance for ourselves is what's resisting the blessing from coming in. So I have to ask God to do that. I take communion because on a regular basis because, you know, even though it's not a big ritual with me, I don't spend a lot of time doing it. I just eat, drink, and go on. And say, thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't get on my knees and pray for an hour. And I eat it, drink it, and say, thank you, Jesus. And let it do a work in me of, you know, loving myself. And then what happens? That resistance, resisting the things that come to say, hey, I'm well-pleasing to you. Well-pleasing means I'm receiving that, him saying that to me instead of, oh, no, I'm not really worthy of being pleased. I'm not well-pleasing God. You know, I forgot to do this, didn't do that. And I, he said, what are you talking about? And when I got broken, then when it came to say, well-pleasing to me, that meant the money coming in, that meant the finances coming in, that meant the blessing, that meant the people, that means God giving me word, God giving me information. Because that resistant thing was broken. Yeah, and it's still being broken. And the more it's broken, the more the blessings, you know, flood in. So, all right. Anyway, I thought I've talked a lot about that tonight. For some reason, the revelation tonight on that has been really important for us to learn. Not just pointed toward one person or the other. Shared it with a lot of people in different ways tonight. Revelation to me, when I get revelation from God, it flows in to the prophetic realm to help others understand things. All right, so they can love themselves. I still have a hard time saying love myself. I still have a hard time saying I say it, and I know I'm doing it, but I haven't fully embraced that yet, you know, which means I'm not fully embracing. I've still got a wall up that's keeping the blessing from coming in all the way. And that wall's coming down, y'all. It's coming down. Every day. Coming down. All right. I think that's it for tonight. It's been great. Thank you guys for everything. Got it all. Okay, good. Let me check here. Yep, I think that's it. All right. Enjoyed it tonight. Just know that everything I'm sharing with you is stuff that I'm learning, and I'm teaching you what I've learned about me and still learn about me. Nothing personal, nothing condemning, degrading anybody. I'm just telling you what God is telling me and what I'm learning, and hopefully what I'm learning you'll want to learn too. Because it sure is a blessing when you're saying you want to be blessed, but at the same time, the resistance of your anger of yourself, your discontentment with yourself is a lot more than you think. And you say, bring it on, God. At the same time, we're going, I don't really know this deserve it, but bring it on. You know, so we're supposed to say, oh, we don't deserve it, but God's going to bring it anyway. Yeah, but
there are some things that God wants us to, you know, we overcome it. And the walls come down and the blessing come in. Anyway, I'm going to call it night. All right, y'all. I think that's it. I think I have it. No, I didn't. There we go. All right, y'all, calling it night. Thank you very much. God bless everybody. Pray tomorrow at 2 o'clock. The software guys that come in, they're going to connect up to my computers and all the monitors and all the stuff and do their thing on it, and that should finalize it. So maybe we'll finally have it going on. All right. Thanks very much. God bless. See you tomorrow. See you Monday. Bye.